Hello, everyone. It is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016, and that means it is time for Weekly Manga Recap once again. I'm Nick, here alongside Chris. We put a very complex animated GIF in the center of the screen this week. We hope you guys enjoy that. Sometimes it also makes sounds, but you can ignore it.
It seems like it's reacting to us. That's actually just a well-crafted illusion.
I am a highly programmed AI just meant to make it so you guys are less lonely.
It's like an old WWE Rock promo after he went to Hollywood for a bit where he's like, I'm here in Sacramento. And Vince McMahon's like, well, what are you doing here, Rock? I'm telling you I'm here to kick your ass. I don't think you have the balls to, Rock. Don't tell me I don't. I'm going to come down there and kick your ass.
Kick your ass up and down the... Wrestling reference. I don't know. Hey, everybody.
You haven't spent enough time around us. We're going to corrupt you.
No. I'll hopefully soak it up after, like, through sheer osmosis, you know, like through the brainwaves. But, yeah, I'm Techie 101. I review Bleach, and... Oh, God, that's all I... Okay, yeah, that's pretty much all
I... You're like, oh, this is my life.
Oh, God.
I didn't realize it until just now.
We were going to have Techie on the show in order to talk about manga with us, but he's contemplating existence right now, so it's just going to be the two of us.
I don't know what to do when Bleach is over. My life ends. I just fade into non-existence. Like, was he really there? No, I was just this CGI creature that existed just to review the end of Bleach. Yeah. I'm branching out more into Yu-Gi-Oh! Now, so that's a plus.
Reviewing Yu-Gi-Oh! Chapters or playing Yu-Gi-Oh!
Playing games, and Dark Side of Dimensions is coming out, so I reviewed some of the trailers, so that's giving me some material to work with, and I was thinking about maybe doing some card game tutorials, but everyone's like, no, you suck, so don't do that. I was like, you play a 6 Sammy deck, so you automatically just suck. I'm like, whatever.
Oh, Nick, there's a special thing. Beyond even Techie being here, I mentioned it last week. I'm doing a special challenge this week.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard of the Bean Boozled Challenge.
I have heard of it.
It's essentially kind of like a mixture of the Berry Bots heavy flavored beans.
It's Bernie right. Bots, you muggle.
Well, I've had those before.
I'm going to do, essentially, there's, I don't know how well you'll be able to see it, but there's a whole thing of jelly beans in here, and there's many different colors and all that. So, there's, like, one like this, which could either be a juicy pear, or it could be booger. There's, like, a 50-50, I don't even know the statistics. I feel like they weigh very heavily in the disgusting flavor. That you're either going to get something sweet, or something just absolutely god-awful.
So this is just a straight-up rip-off of Birdie Bot's Every Flavored Beans, basically.
Did Birdie Bot's have... I thought very clearly there were some that were just, like, vomit, and it didn't look like anything
else. There was a vomit. There was a grass one, I remember that.
Did it look like something else, though?
No, they did not have beans that looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right.
They did include charts so that if you looked very carefully, you could tell what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was like lime and then grass, and it was like a slightly different shade of green.
Right. Yeah. Lawn clippings is among here, along with canned dog food, stinky socks, rotten eggs, moldy cheese. I'm gonna eat one for every chapter we get through.
But God.
I want this to be a tight podcast, Nick. Okay. The tightest ever. So anytime we get on a tangent, we're finishing, I'm eating one of these beans to keep myself from... possibly coming up with any other idea that may pop into my mind.
I don't know. Okay, if you want to run a tight ship, Chris, I don't know why the fuck you got me on here, because, like...
It was very poor scheduling on my part.
In my live streams, before I got banned from Twitch, we'd be talking about Bleach 1 second, philosophy the next, and the Holocaust the next. So I don't know what...
I think those all kind of lead into one another, honestly.
Well,
Bleach, the Holocaust, okay.
Honestly, I didn't even think you needed the philosophy step between there.
Well, okay. Good luck on your journey. Maybe the beans will be a reflection of what the chapter was. Like, oh man, this chapter sucked, and you get like vomit.
That's what I think. I think the jelly beans will be symbolic of the chapters as a whole.
Best case scenario.
Okay. Well, we have lots of things that we could be talking about in order to force Chris to eat. We could talk about how Nick is missing Aztec Warfare and how. The internet has erupted over Batman versus Superman, whether it sucks or doesn't, even though almost nobody has seen it yet.
I just found out, like, literally 2 minutes ago, I found out everyone hated that.
Yeah, so, but I think that we'll just kind of catch Chris off his guard at some point instead.
You'll be like, Asta swings a sword. Anyway, did you guys hear about Batman versus Superman? Think it's going to be any good or not? I'm like, God damn it. And it's like a handful
Pretty much.
Of jelly beans.
Eat a damn bean!
We're going to do our recap portion. We can like recap because Chris and I are.
I just had to stop. I was like, I'm about to bring up Aztec Warfare. I don't know what it is, but don't, because it's a jelly bean. You don't know what you're gonna get.
It's Lucha Underground. It's their version of Royal Rumble. Anyhow,
okay.
So, Black Clover is what we're starting off with. Recap portion. Weekly manga recap because Chris and I are still working on Shinsuke no Iron Maiden. We're gonna have that maybe next week.
It takes a while for me to like recharge after I finish, so I kind of have to give it like a 30-minute buffer. Once you get older, it starts taking longer, you know. And I don't want to miss any great material, you know.
Oh yeah. Okay, so last time on Black Clover, the fight suddenly ended, and Asta woke up after passing out. Luckily, you know, he made it just until everyone had left, and then he reached his limit and fell over. Exactly. Good timing. Woke up in bed, nice and safe, and now he's being used so that they can unseal some spells and find out information about the Midnight Sun. So he follows this guy down the stairs. We get our chapter title, which is the Magic Knight Captain's Conference.
I just want to note, this is a chapter with like 30 new Magic Captains, and a couple reoccurring characters. And a couple reoccurring characters, too, we haven't seen in a while. They're not in the fucking character introduction, but Yuno is again. He's not showing up in this chapter. I seriously think it's now becoming the gag of this series that Yuno is always going to be in that spot.
And where is Rebecca?
Well, she's not an important character. We're never going to have to see her again, Nick. But
I completely forgot who she was.
That's okay. That's good. She's not going to be important. You don't need to.
So, also come to think of it, it seems that nobody else from the Black Bulls except for Asta and Yami is in this chapter. So it seems as though basically everybody's gone home except for Asta, because he has his magic negation technique, mm-hmm. and the captains. So everyone else is just like, you guys just go home. And except maybe Noelle is just still hanging out at Rebecca's house and they never came to collect her. So he leads them to the two prisoners that they had before, and the Wizard King is there, and basically they say, hey, you can, you know, negate magic and stuff. So can you undo the seal on their mind so that we can access their memories and find out more information about their organization? And Asta responds by going,
probably! So.
Asta has so many weird goddamn facial expressions.
I don't get it.
That are all the same because of his, you know, weird glimmery eyes thing. Although, but this is the strangest pose I've ever seen him strike before, because he's doing this.
Well, maybe, Japanese culture is, like, you have a nosebleed for sexual arousal. Maybe he's, like, holding back all the excitement. Like, oh my god, the Sorcery Emperor asked me to do something.
Well, it's not even just that. The Wizard King himself is a giant nerd, too, apparently.
Yeah, he's a huge magic fan.
Because he gets super excited. He's like, you saw copy magic? Oh, beast magic? I've never heard of that. I'm like, I feel like you should have heard of it. It sounds lame. It sounds like a lot of people should have beast magic.
Beast magic. So he's, like, Elfman. So that's pretty lame, yeah.
Yeah.
God, there are like way too many dorks for Asta to bounce off of in this series by this point.
And everyone who's not a dork, he beats up and renders useless afterwards. I want one dude who's just like, "Fuck you, you nerd."
That was the that was Fueo, right? That was the guy that was the leader of the Lions before he got
right.
Yeah.
Basically, he was the serious dude who immediately got like unconscious. Right. He might still be alive. We don't know.
He was like the only cool one.
Yeah.
You know, who wasn't a dick to Asta. Because, yeah, it does seem to be that there are two general approaches. Either you become a dork, or you just remain a jerk. It's like the lamest possible version of that Two-Face line from The Dark Knight. Mm. Yeah. Anyhow.
Asta on Batman vs. Superman.
Asta pops the captured wizards on the head with the hilt of his sword, and immediately they start interrogating them. Marks, I guess, starts probing their minds, and it almost looks like he summons electric chair, you know.
Yeah, you got like spikes coming down on him or something, yeah.
It's very intimidating for I'm going to look into your mind kind of visuals.
And you might die, we don't know. Might be a side effect.
So then we cut to elsewhere inside the palace where the Mage Knight captains have gathered. Mm-hmm. And okay, we've got Tekking here.
Oh, you're going with this where I think you are?
The easiest comparison that you can possibly make...
Let me say it. I'll say it if you got it right. The Praying Mantis dude looks like Noitora, and the Purple Ogre guy looks like Mayuri.
Well, yes, but where I was more going for was... We've seen scenes like this a bunch of times before, and the easiest example to point to is the captain's meeting and then the Espada's meeting in Bleach.
Yes.
Where you've got these guys who are of high rank in this organization all gathered together, and multiple numbers of them you're meeting for the first time.
Right.
The setup for this whole thing, as you know, they're interacting with each other and they're talking back and forth, and we're getting a feel for some of their personalities, especially the ones that we've never seen before, is eventually it turns out that there is a traitor amongst the captains. That is the information they got from this group.
I really love that twist.
But we don't fucking know anything about these guys. Like, we know Yami, we know Nozel, and we know Fuego Leon. And the others we barely know anything about.
Well, we know a little bit enough about Rosalie, whatever, Charlotte. I guess it's the easier name to remember.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah, just go Charlotte.
Yeah, we know she's a man-hater who secretly has a crush on Yami, and I would not be surprised if that is the depths of her character, by and large.
I took that to mean, like, it. I don't know if this is actually going to be, like, he's a traitor, but it might turn out to be Yami. They might say that. And then it's like, oh, shit. But then it turns out, like, there's something else behind the scenes. I don't know.
There are literally only two people that it would surprise me to learn if they were the traitor.
Yeah.
One is Yami, and the other is Fuego Leon.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking, like, why would he introduce, like, oh, here's this random character we just introduced. Oh, by the way, he's a traitor. Like, oh, yeah, all that stuff we knew about him, just, it was a lie this whole time.
I'd be pretty heartbroken if Dorothy Unsworth turned out to be the traitor.
She said no lines, but the way that she snored and had that snot bubble coming out of her nose, it made me want to trust her and follow her to the ends of the earth. And now she's a traitor?
She could be a giant cacti made out of penises. I don't care. If her name is Unsworth, then I love this character.
I don't know. My money's on Nozel, because I don't trust a man that has a ponytail in front of his face with the cross thing on it.
He can't trust himself. It's always brushing in front of one eye. Can't see.
That's, like I'm saying, dude, that's a total evil hairstyle. That's really what an evil villain wears, yeah.
So, you've got these nine potential candidates, and maybe three of them, it would be kind of shocking. You know, when you think about, like, the way that the whole thing with Aizen went down, the mystery was unfolding for a pretty long time, and you had gotten quite a while to get to know at least some of the captains involved.
Right.
Whereas now it's just like, hi, here are these nine characters, like, six of them you've met before, but most of them only barely know anything about. Here are three new ones that you haven't met before. Why are you going to care if any of them
I mean, with Bleach, it wasn't much better, because the whole thing was you meet the captains, and then Aizen had that, like, fake thing where it was like, oh, Toshiro is the real traitor. We didn't really know much about Toshiro at that point. So, and then it was found out Aizen was later on the big mastermind, but even at that point we didn't know a huge amount about him. And Kubo kind of backbuilt that with all, like, flashbacks and everything. Yeah.
I'm distracted by the fact that the golden captain's name is William Vengeance. I just stopped.
The names are transparent as hell. Like, yeah.
We got what?
Geldor Boinzot.
Gleldrip Poison.
God damn it. Jack the Ripper, because Yami Tsukihiro, Dorothy Unsworth, Nozel Silva, Charlotte Rosalie, Real Boys Mitter, Real Boys Morty, God. And William Vengeance.
What language is this?
If William Vengeance isn't a fake name, then either his parents were, like, hilarious, or he's taken straight from, like, a shitty JRPG.
Yeah, that's what
like
all...
He's from
no,
a
no,
shitty
dude.
JRPG anyway.
Yeah, Chris, you just... That's the whole naming scheme of every character in this series. Like, the name of from, you know, some JRPG. That's all it's from. Because these names are, like... The parents must have hated these kids otherwise.
I'm like, oh, dear Nozel. You shall be king.
Your name is Charlotte Rosary. I'm like, who has the last name Rosary? Jack the Ripper, come on, man. You're basically asking me to be, like, a bloodthirsty bastard. I don't know.
He's like, I just wanted to play chess my whole life.
It's like, no, you're going to kill people. You're going to get a badass scar. It's going to be awesome.
There's quite a bunch of very kind of exposition-y dialogue between some of them, like, where they're going, oh, well, Gelger, maybe if I could make a whole bunch of money like you, then I wouldn't be the way that I am, you mister.
Wink, wink, wink. Foreshadowing, maybe? I don't know.
The youngest one is Rill, and he does impressions of people.
Yeah.
That's his thing. One of them sleeps. That's her thing.
Character development at its finest.
William Vengeance is ex-Marquise. Anyhow, eventually there's kind of a tense moment between Yami and Vengeance because...
No, like, hold on, I just want to stop for a moment. I want to interject. We all know it's William Vengeance, though. Like, the audience already knows it. We've already seen...
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Like,
we've already seen that the captain of the Golden Dawn is evil. Like, we've seen him in, like, shady back areas doing evil things.
But no, Chris, he's Golden Dawn, so he's a good guy. Obviously.
We have no reason to believe that. The Golden Dawn are all douchebags, except for Yuno and the two people we had with him who were douchebags until Asta made them friends.
I mean, he's wearing a mask, and he looks kind of evil, and everybody's doing shady shit. Oh my god, they're playing everybody! I just got that!
I would not
like,
be shocked.
This guy, even if you had never seen this guy before, you would look at him and be like, that guy looks evil.
That's my point. I have no idea why this whole kingdom basically looks up to like Golden Dawn, like, oh, they're the best guild, they're the strongest, when it's so transparent that they're evil. If you just even look a little bit, like, just look at their leader and be like, the way he just looks at everything, and be like, oh yeah, this guy is,
Like, it could still surprise us, like, I don't know, maybe for some reason they have some super magic implanted in them that's just like, oh, if you're asked who the person was, you blame the shit out of Yami to put suspicion on them or something like that.
Exactly, because Yami would make more sense from, like, a perspective, but you know.
As an audience, we have to recognize this dude's evil, right? Like, they're trying to build up this idea of, like, who's the spy? I'm like, well, I know it's the dude who we've already seen be evil.
Yeah, we know it, but I don't think, like, the cliffhanger of this chapter is going to lead to that. It's going to get off on, like, a tangent somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the captains are all called into a room. Asta looks really nervous because, presumably, he was found out the first time. He was present the first time when they actually revealed this information. But, you know, they're all still there, and they're like, hey, prisoners, repeat what we just found out, what you just told us. What is the name of the captain who betrayed us? And, that's the end of the chapter, is them about to say the name of the traitor in their midst.
Dun, 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 dun.
My faint hope for next chapter, it starts with them being like, it's... Hold on, how do you pronounce that? Can I get a dictionary? How do I pronounce this dude's...
Phonetic spelling, please.
The stupid bandit face guy looks like a robot. He's all fat and shit. You know what I'm talking. No, you need to say the name.
Plug this into Google Translate, see what we get.
It says it's random Japanese gibberish.
No. It comes up Fuego Leon. No, I don't want his league name. I want, like, his actual name.
I don't want his summoner title.
His summoner title.
This is an okay chapter. It'd be more interesting if the captains themselves seemed more interesting, but aside from a couple unique designs, they're all the ones we're being introduced to for the first time are kind of just boring.
Yeah, I mean, even the ones that were introduced like a few chapters ago, we still don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah.
Like Jack the Ripper's the bloodthirsty dude. That's it. He's the Kenpachi. He's the Noitora.
That's my thing.
That's my thing. I kill shit.
It's also weird that we're getting like that. I guess we have to because it's like the foundation of this world is the magic captains. But it seems sort of like, this is usually like a really interesting sort of chapter when these are the villains, and we're getting to meet like the villain group for the first time, as opposed to like all of the heroes that we probably won't be hanging out with for a while, because all these guys are magic captains in their own units and everything like that.
Yeah.
But again, you said Bleach did the same thing when we went to the Soul Society, maybe something will happen.
Although we thought that they were the villains at the time.
Yeah. And even then, when they turned out to be quasi allies, half of them were still being antagonistic, so.
Oh, yeah, still totally.
Alright, so I have to eat a bean for this. God damn it. I got black.
Oh, so that's probably that's gonna be poison.
Black can either be skunk spray or licorice, and I'm not gonna lie, I don't like licorice, so there's really a no win in this.
You and me are blood brothers there, because licorice is the worst candy that's ever existed on this planet.
Oh!
It's licorice, isn't it?
Oh!
Damn you!
Oh!
Okay. So I want this to be described in it with as many adjectives as possible. Go.
Oh, it's like you let a grenade of dirt off in my mouth. Like a grenade of dirt and trash.
So that's going to be my new single in my grunge band.
Oh. Grenade full of dirt and trash.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Machine, go back to the 90s and start the whole grunge thing.
Got a skunk sprite.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Now, is there also going to be a licorice one in there, too?
I mean, there's plenty of other black jelly beans in there. Presumably one of them has to be fucking licorice. Unless they just troll everybody. They send you a fucking a box of nothing but the shitty flavors. Ugh. Alright, carry on.
Okay, let's move on to Bleach.
You could go without me. It's cool. I haven't read the last like 10 chapters. It's cool.
I haven't followed Bleach in a couple months.
Did Shunsui win that fight with Lilia? Nah, it's fine. I don't care.
When last we spoke, actually, it's kind of appropriate because Gerard had just done his growth thing when you appeared, and now we're actually just getting back to that fight.
We're looping back, although Kubo's been pretty good at, like, because when it was, like, with Pernida, it was, like, this just straight-up fight with Pernida. Lilia was a straight-up fight. With Askin and Gerard, they've kind of been, he's been bouncing back and forth a little bit between their fights. And then
it hasn't just been them. There was all the stuff with Ichigo and Ishida, and then Chad getting separated from them.
Yeah.
Chad's fight with the Rock Golems, guys! We're gonna get to it soon!
Hey, no, I don't give a shit about Chad. I want to see Gonju. Yeah. He's the star of this show, you know?
The Ganju and others.
I was so upset by that because I knew Kubo was going to have to, like, create some random fodder enemies for Chad or somebody else to fight.
We're statues that are evil! I didn't make enough letters!
And then Chad is going to be on top of one of the heads and he's like, oh, that was kind of hard. Anyway, we did our fight. And Ichigo's like, we had to defeat, like, fucking God! And you're like, yeah, well, these stone guys were strong a little bit.
And Kubo afterwards like, maybe I shouldn't have had Yuhapa kill like 3 Stern Ritter during his ascension that hadn't done anything.
Back like a bunch of characters and not use them like Ganju or the Fullbringers. Maybe that's just a crazy fucking idea.
Well, greatly enough, we finally get the long-awaited return of a character everyone's been clamoring to enter into this arc. Not that she announced anything in this chapter, but she is here. Remember.
That's a weird way to call Kenpachi.
Yeah. He has a sweet rack.
Just a little bit, yeah.
So, last time...
He inherited Unohana's powers and her tits when he killed her.
Well, she is dead, never coming back. We had to get that in there somehow. So, last time, Grimmjow mortal combated Asuna Glavara's ass, just straight up fatality, hand through the chest from behind.
Temple of Doom, that shit.
Well, it didn't quite Temple of Doom it. He did not set the heart on fire, although he did explode it.
He did crush it. That's good enough.
I was so glad when I watched your recap of that last chapter to see that you were just as confused by how the hell exactly Grimmjow got there as we were.
Oh my god.
Because I was like, okay, I see the path of stitching on the ground. How exact did he just come in from the outside? Did he rip it open and come back? What happened?
That wasn't as bad as the other thing I said when Uohara, like, disassembled his arm and then reassembled it exactly the same way. I had no idea what that was. That's all the comment section in that video is. Like, he obviously reconstituted his muscles to make him stronger. It was so obvious.
He doesn't explain that!
He explained everything else about his power.
It makes sense for the power. My confusion was, like, his arm... It's exactly the same, just with stitches. Like, if he wanted to be stronger, shouldn't it be, like, more muscle mass or a different color or something? Give me some visual cue here, Kubo.
Aside from just having stitches all over...
I mean, the stitches are badass. He kind of looks like a zombie now. Well, Kubo's definition of a zombie, but... Okay. Yeah, but anyway, continue, I guess.
So, Asuna Glavara is like, oh, you're moving again. Grimmjow's like, how are you still breathing when I've crushed your heart? What the fuck?
It's kind of fucked up. Look at you over there.
So, Urahara flat out says, I actually came across Grimmjow when I was on my way here, and I made sure to heal him so that he could help me out. And I figured that he would be able to actually assist me, because when Arrancars have their masks torn off, they can actually completely transform their spiritual pressures, because they've got Arrancar type and they've got Hollow type Ryatsu. So
I can still taste it, Nick, by the way. I can still taste it in my mouth.
So it does it, does it, does it taste like a skunk just, like, you know, sprayed right in your
it's,
mouth?
It smells like it smells like a skunk farted into my mouth.
If which, we stop in the middle of the chapter to talk about the beans, does that count as
yes,
a tangent?
Yes, this does count as a tangent.
Okay, do
you
it.
Know what?
God damn it! I got another fucking black one!
That's racist, Chris.
Okay.
Either way, you're screwed.
I don't want it to be licorice, but that skunk was so bad.
Licorice.
This one's just licorice, we're safe.
Is it regular licorice or black licorice?
It's black licorice.
I was gonna say.
Still pretty ill. Okay. But it's not skunk, so we're just carry on.
So anyway. Okay. So Asuna Akbar accuses Urahara of actually somehow having thought this far ahead to this point in the confrontation. Urahara says, "No, I didn't actually anticipate this. I just figured it might be useful. I have 1,000 precautions, and even if one is, you know, if even one is successful, that's great, but I, you know, prepare for every single possibility. That's just how I am."
Yeah.
No, you're not. You just got lucky.
He's like, "Oh, man, I can't believe that fucking worked."
He's like, my only other idea, I was going to throw this wet sponge in my pocket at you and hope that your weakness is water. Yeah. I was...
I have some Tic Tacs in my hat. I was going to, like, I don't know, chuck at you. I don't know, man.
I was going to see if minty freshness maybe was your... Your Achilles heel.
Your weakness.
So, this part of the conversation actually isn't, you know, too, you know, important. It's when Asuna Akbar then says, "You're kind of crazy," and Urahara explains himself by saying, "Well, this is a battle. If you lose, you die. So preparing yourself to death in order to avoid death, that's something that all of us do." So this
I haven't
is
heard
actually,
that one before in Bleach.
All right, but this is actually a little bit, you know, this panel where, you know, Urahara is speaking very seriously.
Yeah,
he's got all his battle scars on him.
Yeah.
This is a bit of, you know, character insight for him. Because we've known for a long time he's this chess master, he's a manipulator, he's got all these different things set up, these fail safes. If his one plan fails, he's got a backup plan and another backup plan and so on and so forth. It's for just a very simple reason, which is because it's important that I win.
I don't really know if you look at, like, what motivates him as a character at this point. Like, because he's very similar to Mayuri in that he's, you know, like a kind of like a scientist, and maybe he just wants to progress for the sake of that. But if you just boil it down to, like, I was just in this to win, you know, I'm like, I don't know where this is going. Because he hasn't really expressed a lot of interest in, like, stopping Yuha or anything like that. Not really.
I'd be more intrigued by this if, like, or not maybe necessarily intrigued, but more satisfied with this, if maybe we had a little bit of a link to the time when he was completely defeated, which is when, you know, Aizen, you know, created the visor, and he had to get kicked out of Soul Society and stuff. Because at that point, he didn't have plans that he could fall back on. He lucked out, and Yorichi saved his ass.
Yeah.
He had to be saved. He didn't have all of these plans that could help him out. And so that could, you know, if that is given as the reason, is this is why I'm always over-prepared for everything, is because I can't accept another failure of that scale. I can't allow people to die because I, you know, didn't do everything I could do. This would be more interesting.
I don't know, because of course he's dead now, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we cut away from him when he's collapsed and he has nothing left. He's dead.
Yep, he's dead. Yeah, that's typical anime logic, manga logic there.
Ignoring the fact that Asuna Akbar keeps on going, "I'm dead.
Although,
I'm alive and I have something else to say. I'm dead."
it did bring up a very interesting point, and some people were asking me this. Like, does the reconstructive power of his Bankai disappear when his Bankai goes away? And I think it does, because we saw his Bankai collapsing and the stitches began to bleed. So, I don't know what that means. I don't know if the stitches go away or whatever. But Uehara's last words are like, "I guess I gotta leave this to you, Miss Kuchiki and Mr. Kurosaki." So, the interesting thing here is, like, Ichigo, obviously, because he's, like, the main character. He's like, "Oh, you're our hope, you young Jedi." But then you have Rookie, and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess she could do something. I mean, like, sure.
She's supposed to be the female lead. I've been saying this for years.
I mean, it makes sense that he would say those two characters because those are the two that he has the most connection to, you know, more so than, like, any of the captains or anything. He's more acquainted with Ichigo and Rukia.
But you're right, because yeah. Rukia was not with Ichigo's group.
No, she was separated, and, I mean, I would love her to do something else with her Bankai. I'm an Ichirukia fan, just a little bit.
What does this have to do with... Are you saying that Urahara is just a shipper, and that's why you said this?
What do you think... Hey, Ichigo and Rukia were mentioned in the same panel. That is credit right there. What do you think I'm going to mention in the review? Yes, Chris, question. Go for it.
How was this chapter 666, and it didn't have a cooler name than Empty Puppet Temple?
I know!
I'm like, come on, Kubo, this is where you're like, no. Satan walks among me, or some Kubo-esque title involving hell.
First of all,
it's not chapter 666, it's chapter Murokumu. Because it's the chapter number is not in Roman numerals, it's in Japanese numbers.
yeah. So it's like Kubo's like, I want to do something with this clever, but I got I'm late for some. I'm just gonna do this. Now look, I have heard, and I don't know if there's any credit for this, but I have heard that in Japan, the number 666 isn't like as demonized as it over here in the West. The number over there that's apparently worse is 999. And that's why Yuha Box thing is nine. It's like 9 years, 9 days. That's what I've heard.
But if that's the case, why did the third season of Digimon have Myotismon come back at the 666, the Hours of the Beast?
I think about my childhood. I'm more surprised that four kids let that slip, because that is really
I was
kind
shocked
of like,
about it at the time.
I didn't even
well, that was
that
wasn't four kids. That was Saban.
So. Oh right, yeah, okay.
Four kids would not have let that go.
No shit, no.
It was still awesome. I was like, holy shit. Mom, come in here. Digimon's bringing up Satan.
Come in here. They're summoning the devil.
Mom, get out the toilet. They're bringing up Satan on the cartoon Fox Box.
Oh, the Fox Box. Oh, God.
Tangent.
And then, oh, my God, they defeated Satan with angels. This is so Christian.
Oh.
They just flat out have a devil and an angel at the...
And then they had two angels stab small children with arrows, and then they were able to, you know, warp Digivolve like War Greymon and everybody, and that's, yeah.
All right, so this one could be either Peach or Barf. So, it's another, like, I'm really not excited about the good flavor kind of one. Carry on.
Good luck.
All right, so, Askanagavar falls over after Grimmjow spews into the
Okay, let's just keep going while he's puking.
Scam!
But then all of a sudden, pressure descends on Grimmjow and Urahara, and they start to collapse. And Askanagavar is like, I'm not dead, I have something to explain. Let me explain my powers more. Oh. He explains that he had actually been holding back on the intensity of the Gift Ball Deluxe surrounding them all, basically because he was worried it would affect him too. That's how powerful it is. Even his own immunity, it might actually start to affect him because he's inside of it. So now it's super, super intense, and he doesn't even have the strength to stop it if he wanted to. So basically, he's going to take Urahara and Grimmjow down with him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going to go out, he's going out like a champ.
Yeah. And he clearly on saying, you know, I'm sure you've got some sort of plan in mind for this, so I'm not going to say it's fatal.
I actually had to get the Viz Media translation for this, like the official one, because there was a sentence when he was explaining how his power doubles. It doesn't make any sense in like traditional scanlations. But the panel where he says like it's fatal, that's way cooler in the scanlation because he's basically like, he's like, I sound like a broken record with the fatal stuff. I'm dead.
Goodbye.
Which I think that fits his character more, so I went with that. And I did a whole tribute to Askin, where I go on like this soul searching journey, and I'm like staring at a sunset, like he's dead now.
Oh, he is sad.
He appears in the sky, and he's like, "Continue on with your work." Yeah.
No, that's
he was my favorite Stern Ritter, easily.
Oh yeah.
I think Yeah, I mean, it was Master Masculine, but Aston Nakvar is an actual fully developed character.
Yeah, Mask was pretty cool.
Bambietta was pretty hot. Isn't that the basis we're judging him off of?
Well, if we're going by that, I'm going with Meniness McAllen all the way. I mean, sex might be a little difficult there, but she's still pretty cute.
I mean, I'm going for Pepe. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I like that dark chocolate.
He does the love bean. You'll be all over him. He's like, oh my god, that beard is so freaking sexy.
Finally, a man of my complexion. You're like, sure?
So, the fight, it seems, is actually over, because it looks like Aston Alcavar is actually dead. I mean, this seems like he's actually...
His heart's been ripped out. He cannot recover. He cannot be like, I've become immune to a fatal dose of missing heart.
Yeah.
So, but this fight's kind of been weird, because in the others that we've seen involving
Nick, in what ways? We just had, well, like, Lightning Neko chick and giant Bankai woman. Like, what other ways was this weird?
Well, think of it this way. The fight between Mayuri and Pranita was basically between two of them, but then Nemo got involved. Then it was between Shunsui and Lilibarto, and then Nanao got involved. Mm-hmm. This fight, despite having more people involved, has really actually been Urahara versus Aston Nakvar overall, because pretty much everyone that's been involved in this was there because of Urahara and was being assisted and set up by him. He gave Yoruichi the injection
to force her into
his lightning sex slave girl. He set up Grimmjow. Really, the only person who was there, because, you know, Ichigo and Chandra also came across Aston Akbar. Who was there, not because directly of Urahara, was Yushiro.
Yushiro. Who might be dead. I'm cool with that, though.
Well, yeah. Later on, Nell says that there are four Rayasas.
Yes. So Yoruichi, Urahara, Grimmjow.
Unless Aston Akbar is alive instead of him.
Oh, that'd be so sweet.
Oh, I would love that. I would love, best case scenario, I would love him to be like, after the battle, he turns out to be alive this whole time, and he's like, yeah, fuck this shit, I'm going home. I'm just going to go work at Starbucks. I'm not even going to fuck this shit anymore.
So, it's weird because more people have been involved in this, but yes, in a way, it's been more consistently Urahara versus Asuka.
That's what I'm saying. I've said this about Asuka a lot, but just think about all the stuff it took to take this guy down. Like, he had a fight with Nemaya, which he would have won if Kurinji didn't get involved, and that wasn't even, like, he didn't even use his full power in that fight, but he was winning. And then you had Yoruichi, Shiro, Ichigo, Chad, Orihime, Urahara, Grimmjow, just, like, ridiculous amount of effort to take this guy down. So at least I'll give Kubo credit some here. He made a pretty interesting character that had an OP power, but it took like an OP resolve to finish him off, kind of, with all the people he had to fight.
It was a satisfying fight.
Let's move on to Yami versus Byaki and Kenpachi round two. Redux version track Alpha Omega.
Also featuring Hitsugaya this time.
No one cares.
But he's the most popular character, or so I've been told by DeviantArt.
You know what? I say that too, but that was done by a popularity poll a long ass time ago. I don't know. They haven't done a popularity poll in a long time. I don't know if he still would be the favorite character.
I think it's just a matter of, like, Bleach's popularity has kind of downturned a bit. Well, it's not that. That wouldn't be it. No, because Naruto and One Piece don't do popularity polls very often either.
So. You know what? Fuck it. I'll do one. All right. I'll figure it out.
We close on that scene with Nell basically being like, huh, I have to go inside there and actually and save them. Okay.
Yeah. Someone was saying she might die because the way she was saying it, like, oh, right. I want to see Ichigo again, but I have to make two round trips now. But well, at least Nell's back.
We actually see the opening in the gift ball, too. We see the stitch pattern.
Yeah, it makes sense. I just want to know, like, did his, like, stitch pattern go outside the gift ball and then make that? Like, how does that work? I don't know.
I seriously don't know. And also, it seems as, I guess the implication is that it's closing back up, or I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it is, or at least that's probably the implication, because the ball is closing back up while it's also exploding. So yeah, okay. Anyhow, we cut away as the people inside the gift ball collapse, whereas Gerard is just going, Vroom! It's a pretty great panel, honestly.
Yeah.
Where are his nipples?
Nipples!
Isn't he the Nick? He's a man.
Wait till you get to the nipple-flavored bean.
Oh, God, I want to at this point. That bar flavor is so bad to sit on.
So what barf are we talking about here? Are we talking
Don't do it! I can't do another one right now! Just finish Bleach!
Okay, well, it's not much better.
Kitsugaya is still fighting with Gerard, but then suddenly Byakuya appears. He's got Simba and Sakura going on. He blocks an attack.
Yeah, the Bankai.
Kitsugaya, I've read two versions of this chapter now.
Yeah, the joke he makes, kinda.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more subtle in the official version than in the first version I saw, where he was just... Where it was really weird, and I honestly think that it is far more out of character in that version than it is in this one.
Which one's more out of character, the original?
The Scanlation version I saw basically was just like, what, you guys are saying I'm always being serious, why can't I joke around and stuff?
That was, like, really out of character, particularly in this situation when they're, like, facing on a giant that could just step on them. Like, let's crack some jokes. I'm like, you're not the joke cracker kind of guy, Toshiro.
Whereas this time, he goes, you know, with the height difference involved here, you know, we're still at the disadvantage even with 2-on-1. And then Byakuya kind of gives him a look, and he's like, what are you looking at me like? Are you saying I'm always at a height disadvantage? You know, gives him a bit of a, you know, kind of an Edward Elwood kind of thing instead.
Which, Byakuya expressed kind of an emotion, sort of. So that was pretty rare to see. He kind of smiles.
I do like where he goes, like, are you saying I always have a high disadvantage? He's like, No, I would never do that, Captain. No. Anyway, Zaraki shows up, cuts off Gerard's arm, and is like, what are you guys doing struggling against these guys? Why are all the captains wiped out? You guys suck. So, yeah. It's the three of them versus Gerard right now.
It is.
But, of course, he's injured Gerard now, so he's presumably going to get even bigger.
Exactly what happened to Yami. Exactly. Like, he shows up, like, no one can touch the fucker, and he's like, oh, I'm just going to cut off his legs, because I can do that. But, you know, I'm not even mad about the rehashing, as long as this is done right. Like, because the Yami fight was just, you know, glossed over. I'm curious as to whether or not Kenpachi has his arm back. Because it was literally...
After it was...
Yeah, like, his legs were just, like, crushed, but they were still there. He literally ripped his arm off, so I don't know if Mayuri's healing pods could, you know, fix him up there, but we'll see.
I'm not nearly as excited to see where...
You don't seem very pumped for this fight, Nick.
He's a giant dude. Whatever.
Come on, a giant dude! Kenpachi using giant meat cleaver, it works! He's going to cut him right in half, and then he'll make up some stupid bullshit power where he can, like, divide his body or something now.
And then, like, Hachi will show up and magic bullshit something into his body to kill him instead.
Yeah. Farewell, like... box. That was actually the name of that technique, farewell box. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But we got the end of the fight with us and Akbar. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, I'm pumped for that, even just for this. And yeah, we have to wrap up the... After the Gerard fight, what do you think we're just going to go straight on to, like... What's going on with Yuha, or are we going to focus more on Uryu Ishigo thing, or, I mean, Uryu Hashwall thing, or...
I imagine we'll get a little bit of development with Ichigo and company going to,
By company, you just mean Orihime.
Yes, well, who knows. But I do think the next big thing after that is going to be Jugo versus Ishida.
Yeah, because we're starting to run out of fights now.
He's just going to be like, these are my real Elite Four guards!
Oh my God.
The real Six Funeral Beats!
Here's Sternritter Omega and Sternritter Sigma!
I got Greek alphabet too, motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
Do you remember
Shaz? Tsukumo had 20 more character designs sitting on the back shelf.
Do you remember Shaz Domino?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Sternritter Sigma. This is like, this is confirmed. There's a whole story with him I did a video on. It's insane. But, yeah. So I wouldn't put it past him at this point.
It's all those other people that Grimmie thought up.
Other people have been saying he could technically use Yama's Bankai, which I'm even doubtful Kuba remembers that Yoha has Yama's Bankai. But if he could use Yama's Bankai, he could bring back, like, the dead Sternritter. I mean, like, that would be cool, I guess, maybe.
If more people show up to confront Juhabach, I imagine that would be a good way to kind of,
like,
break it back down to Ichigo versus Juhabach.
It would be, but like Yuha has so many freaking powers at this point. Like, I don't even know what they're gonna do when he gets to him. You know, he could basically just like wag his finger at them and just like blow them off the freaking Varvelt.
I am honestly kind of. I really have no idea exactly what is going to go on here because.
No, I don't.
Because we haven't seen Ichigo really use his new Zanpakuto.
Yeah, no. I mean, people were pissed when he lost. Yeah, people were pissed when he lost to Asken, and I'm like, well, Asken's power, like, you can't just run into that. You're going to get fucked no matter if it doesn't matter if you have, like, because Ichigo's always been, like, a straight up frontal fighting kind of guy, you know, and Asken's power is completely contrary to that. But yeah, I mean, once he gets there, maybe his Bankai is going to be different. I don't know.
I was thinking, because, like, imagine if instead when he, you know, fought, like, Kenneth Scatnip and all the other, you know,
the Sternritter clique, yeah.
Who didn't really end up doing very much after that fight was done anyway, because, you know, Lil Totso and Giselle just, you know, went to confront Yuhabak and died off panel.
Well, La Tato died. The zombie girl's dead. Zombie boy girl's dead. I don't know. That's kind of up in the air.
Okay. So. And also there was that mustached guy who was just like, why weren't we chosen?
His name was Robert Accutron, and he doesn't get the respect that he deserves, Nick. He had a fucking briefcase.
He also shot someone right in the fucking head.
Yeah, I know!
He was actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, that time he was awesome. Sternritter and the nitwit, I don't know. Not named forever. He was Colonel Sanders Quincy for like 100 chapters.
You know, imagine if instead we got, you know, just a little bit of a fight to, you know, show this is what Ichigo's Zanpakuto does. I don't know. It's going to be a little weird if we actually just head into the final fight and it's just like, this is all the stuff that Ichigo can do.
I mean, I don't see him jumping to some incredible, like, crazy new power. I mean, he might have, like, a different shape Getsuga. Okay, so I'm going to bring this up just really quickly as a caveat. It's going to sound crazy at first. Nick, do you remember my friend James?
Yes.
Okay. He had a theory, and it's pretty popular on his channel, about Ichigo's true power, and he's thinking it's water-based because of all the different symbolism that water... I mean, it sounds like, oh, that's just symbolism, that's just supposed to reflect his emotions. He actually explained
it. So like, the rain and inside of his internal mind...
Yeah. You think that it's going, and Kubo references the rain a lot, and it's easy just to say that's just symbolism, that's just, you know, comparing to his emotional state, but he actually goes on to explain it, and you start to think, like, knowing Kubo, I could totally see him making that flip. I could. So I'm not going to throw that off the table. It sounds crazy at first, but just think about it for a few days, and it'll, like, maybe.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by anything, just... as a matter of the fact that Ichigo has so many different types of powers.
Yeah, true. And just, I can't see him, fighting Yuha. Like, even fighting him a little bit with Yuha's power with just using the powers he's displayed so far.
Right.
I just don't see it happening.
Well, there's... I don't know. I have a little bit of a hard time buying fully into that. Mostly because if there is one thing that we got out of the Fullbringer arc, it was Chad's observation of... this is how Ichigo's, you know, fights, is he cloaks himself in his own power.
Right.
So, I can't, you know, necessarily buy into that. I can agree, it's like, yeah, there's symbolism with, you know the memories and the rain stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, the rain inside of his internal mind, and so on and so forth, but, I don't know.
It's just an idea, you know, just throwing something out there, thinking outside the box, I don't know.
And theories are fun. You know?
Yeah, theories are fun, yeah.
Okay, Chris, you can eat your bean and we can move on to the next series.
Eat the bean!
This could either be coconut or baby wipes.
I was going to say sperm. Because
well, that would be very illegal to sell to children. And I don't want to be the dude who's like, oh, it tastes like sperm. Like, you got that pretty quick. I'm like, well, I just knew it
you
didn't taste
you
like
don't
coconut.
You don't have to say sperm. There's other words. You love juice, you know? Like, what? I like coconut, so...
It's baby wipe.
So what, does it just taste like baby powder or like a men's room?
It tastes like wet fucking soap and like I ate this tissue essentially after I dipped it in soap first. I hate this game.
Do you need me to do fairy tale, dude?
Would it be awesome if they just messed with you and they were like, okay, you could have these good flavors, but all the beans are just bad flavors except for, like, the one licorice?
Well, here's the thing. This one is the one I want to get. Because this can either be Berry Blast or toothpaste. And toothpaste is fine. I need toothpaste as a flavor. But I keep getting fucking skunk dump and
I'd say skunk
baby
dump.
Vomit and all these awful things.
I don't know. I AIM is probably my favorite toothpaste of choice whenever I want to, you know, delve into that sort of sweet. But I would say Colgate is probably
with
my
techie.
Yeah, your gimmick is
I
already,
dude, I did a 6-episode series on making toast, alright?
Alright. So
Fairy Tale.
Fairy Tale, chapter 478, Stealth. So last time, his name was Lassim, wasn't it?
Jacob Lessio, I thought it was.
Lessio, something like that?
I thought so.
They don't say his name anywhere in the first couple pages, so I just go off what the introduction explains him as Jacob. So Jacob has appeared. He teleported everyone out of the guild, except for, essentially at the time, just Mavis' ghost, and it turns out Lucy and Natsu also managed to escape being teleported away to, I don't know, Death Realm or wherever it was.
Death Realm.
So Natsu is fighting back, because as you remember, Lucy is still recoiling from, like, the one knife that was thrown her way last week.
Yeah.
And Lassib, or Jacob, whatever you want to call him, blocks the attack, and he's like, I'm all fired up. And I guess he just is being a dick. I thought that meant to be like he takes the attack and gains the magic of it, but I don't think that's exactly...
No, Chris, that would actually be clever.
Yeah, no, he just seems to, like, for some reason, spontaneously be like, I steal your catchphrase that I don't know if I myself have heard before.
He also doesn't look like fired up in the... He doesn't look fired up in the slightest either. He's just kind of...
Yeah.
It's weird. He keeps, like, this... He was kind of joking around with, like, the four wizard saints, too, a little bit. Like, that's just part of his personality, but he doesn't really expose it very well on his face.
So he punches Natsu. Natsu comes back. They have a little bit of a back and forth.
Oh, the DDT! The DDT!
And all of a sudden, he's gone. It's a complete mystery. And everyone's like, where is he? And he's like, I'm here! And instead of going in with, like, a killing technique, like an assassin would, he's like, elbow to the back of the head! You're like, alright, I don't think he could have gone for something a little bit more extreme there. But then he's gone again.
Because he's a magic assassin and just go fucking crazy. He'd be able to kill you.
And Mavis says something that I find interesting. She's like, it's stealth magic. That makes you completely invisible. So then Jacob stomps her head, which is pretty funny. But then he's like, that's not all. I can also see things that are invisible. For example, this ghost here. And I'm like, I didn't think that she was invisible.
Yeah, I thought she was, like, transparent. Like,
yeah, I thought she was just something that magically could only appear to members of her guild and isn't actually tangible. Like, it's one thing to be able to see her. He's kicking her in the face and holding his foot on her head. Like, he's manifested her into a whole new reality now.
This is my magic. It's called child abuse.
So
it is a very bizarre sequence, especially because, you know, the last chapter involved a very uncomfortable child torturing scene, and this time he just stomps on her hand, she goes, eh! And then you can see her little leg kicking against the ground and stuff while he pins her down. It's like, suddenly child abuse is way funnier in Hero's mind. But that's okay, because this is a comedy chapter for some reason.
Yeah.
So, Lucy's like, well, I know how to counter invisibility, and she brings out Loki, and he uses his light powers to basically make it so you can tell where Jacob is, because even if he's invisible, he can still, I guess, cast a shadow, that sort of thing. So Jacob's like, this guy's gonna be a problem, and he does something, like he punches, and it sends Loki flying, but everyone reacts to it like it's something crazy. They're like, what was that? And it doesn't seem to be exactly explained for the moment there, but it seems to come up later on as he throws things and people start being like, ow, 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 ow. They're like, I can also turn everything invisible. I'm Absalom from fucking Thriller Bark, but not interesting.
It's weird because...
Less of a pervert. Actually, the opposite of Absalom, really, if you think about it.
He's just throwing weapons at them. Yeah. So I still don't know, because, you know, he rears back and he does something... But it's almost like, if this is meant to be a weapon, it's almost like he's swinging a giant hammer in order to cast the impact that he gets.
Like a battering ram or something like that.
Right. Which I don't know.
They have guns in the fairy tale universe, right? Yeah. Because of like Alzac and stuff. You think that would be a more useful invisible weapon? But, I don't know. Because he says his magic is like, I can erase and vanish things. That is the power of my magic. I'm like, you were called a magic assassin. I assumed your magic had to deal with killing people.
He's like, no, I just...
I just send them to a parallel dimension. I'm like, oh, God.
Assassination! I'm like, I'm going to starve here. Assassination!
Non-lethal assassination!
I'm a pacifist!
So, he basically is just making daggers and whips invisible so he can attack people from angles they can't see, and I guess... this is like the one time Fairy Tail doesn't just have the natural reactions to dodge them, which I guess will probably be the way they beat him. But he pins Natsu to the floor, like he uses some fucking like kung fu MMA shit to be like, boom! And he has Natsu pinned to the ground with his arms behind him. And he says, take a look of the sight of the woman before you. And then all of a sudden, Lucy's clothes disappear.
Yep.
And
sure
she is
do. Left
in her underwear. Now, let's take away the fact that this is very strange and
the
unnecessary.
The Striggan 12, the strongest wizards in whatever that country is called.
One of them's fucking around by taking off clothes. Oh, wait, you're the second one that's been doing this.
Yes.
But, in particular, I like the notion
this
implies.
Wait. Third. Because Brandish got Lucy to get in the bathroom.
I know.
So, I just want to know what this implies, because Lucy, when she got trapped in the clock, it made her naked. And she came out, she put on, she activated her Stellar Spirit dress thing.
Yeah.
I guess part of the Stellar Spirit dress thing is also like, well, I'll put underwear on you too, I'm not a monster.
I don't know if heroes...
but that can just be magically countered.
Heroes just like, I haven't drawn Lucy naked in a while, I just kind of want to, yeah.
It's been in one chapter!
Yeah, but...
No. What I mean is last chapter she was naked, but before that, not really for a while. So
yeah.
She was like, yeah.
It's almost been a month since we've seen Lucy in some kind of horrifyingly...
I mean, there's only so much satisfaction I get off of drawing Sherry naked. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I get so pissed by this, because I'm just like, come on, dude. The Spriggan 12 were built as like these serious, supreme badasses. And it's like, I will make your clothes disappear, but I'm really shy, so I can't look at you. I'm like, come the fuck on.
So Natsu doesn't even care. Like, the guy did this, he's like, this is my plan. This is my eureka moment, my turnabout that just has you hooked. You will be so ashamed at the fact that your compatriot is in her underwear that you couldn't possibly react, despite the fact that I've pinned you to the ground where
you
I can very easily kill you right now.
You know what would be hilarious if, because Jacob really doesn't really have any idea who Natsu or Lucy are. He could have just said, oh, that's my girlfriend, and be like, oh, well, this plan of mine just got completely derailed then if it was used on a couple, but whatever!
Yeah, well, see, that would be a lot of insight for Natsu to have in the moment, so instead Lucy's a whore!
He could have done this, this is like his serious, like, supreme move. He's thinking, oh, they'll never be able to come back from this, and it's like, well, dude, there's many ways.
Just break his arm.
Yeah, really? Come on! So, you can summon an invisible sword and just stab him through the neck! Come on, man!
So, Lucy notices that Jacob is not looking. In fact, he's turned his face away, and he looks like me after I've eaten one of those jelly beans, where he's like... Because apparently, he can't stand the sight of a lewd woman. That is inconceivable for me. Just, he can't bear to look at it. Which calls a lot to question why he created it. He's... unable to look at it himself.
He is gift wrapping their victory for him.
It really seems like a sabotage. This is really bad misplay on his part. I feel like he had the game going. He had started to build up a lead. He was snowballing, and he just throws the game at Baron for no reason. Like 1v5ing the team. You started it. Why did you even try? You're level 7. You don't have smite. You're never gonna do this.
It's almost like Kiro is like, I really want to draw Lucy in her underwear this chapter, but it would make no fucking sense. Oh, well, I guess I'll just bastardize Jacob's character. It's cool. He's a new guy. They won't care.
It did seem very strange that he was kind of billed as like, I'm this suave, badass assassin who snuck into your guild and kidnapped everybody. And now I'm like, hey, you, get me a drink because I'm so cocky. Who gives a fuck? And now I'm just going to take off all your clothes. I'm going to turn my face all the way around because I can't look at like something like that. Don't you do anything while my distraction's turned elsewhere.
And it gets really, really kind of creepy because...
At the end, yeah.
because they're just like, oh, look, she's just stripping now. Oh, she's completely naked. And Lucy's like, yeah, I'm totally naked, yeah.
She should be used to it at this point, honestly.
Yeah. And so Jacob is just like, oh, no, my plan is a failure, and he releases it. And so that gives Lucy and Natsu apparently the ability to recover fully and kick him in the face.
Yes.
Yep.
So they kick him in the face, and it doesn't defeat him, thank God. If this has been the end of the fight, I'd have been like, this sucked. But he goes, gets blown back, and now he's intense. Like, now he's like, ooh, you brats, you should know better than to make a grown-up angry. Which is a bad line, because when you call yourself a grown-up, it really seems to apply the people you're talking to are children, and you just strip one of them against her will, so I'd stray away from that comparison. But it ends with Mavis being like, I found it. I found the way to defeat Xerath. How?
Underwear.
Because the only thing you just saw was someone being stripped. And then
I have a theory. You want to hear my theory?
Go ahead. Because okay. my theory is...
Let me put on, I know where this is going to go. All right, so last chapter, when, you know, Mavis was getting the shit kicked out of her by Jacob, we saw, like, the Lumen Histoire gem thing, and it was starting to crack. So, you know, there's a connection there. And Mavis is supposed to be immortal, like, she can't die, and maybe she realized, oh, man, I could really die here. And if she could figure out a way to possibly die, then that means she could, that Xerath is like in the same boat. So I don't know exactly the process, but maybe that's what, you know, it's like, oh man, if I came close to death, then this is how Xerath could come close to death.
Possibly.
Something like that.
In the moment, though, it definitely feels like she's like, I could strip someone to my advantage, and Xerath will be so embarrassed he can't look at me while I kill him!
I mean,
Xerath just wants to kill humanity, but really, all he's gotta do is get laid.
He's 400 years old, Nick. I think he deserves to get some.
Well, doesn't everything die around him?
Like I said, he deserves to get some. He's a necrophile, then. I don't know. Just...
Yeah, alright. Alright, so that's Fairy Tale. It's a very, very dumb chapter. And... Oh, sweet! I got toothpaste or toothpaste buckets.
Awesome. You fixed that shit. You fixed it.
I'm not. I swear to God, I'm just grabbing into it. It is toothpaste, but again, it's still pretty. It was still pretty good. I need a couple more of these.
Oh, good. Hey, Chris, before we get into the next one, could you send me the link to the Hitbox thing?
Hitbox.tv/RolloT.
Yeah. Oh, it's RolloT. I was searching for. Okay, I got it. Don't worry.
A lot.
Yeah, I was searching for something else. There's another Hitbox title with Weekly Manga Recap, so in case you want
to... There was one. I think I made it originally.
Oh, okay.
One time we had to go over here, and I was like, well, it seems weird if I'm going to stream other things, not Weekly Manga Recap on it, so I just made Roll.
Yeah, if you want to go and break some thumbs for some people stealing your brand. All right, I got it.
Okay. Let's move on to Food Wars, Chapter 159, Growth.
I'm getting pretty fucking brazen now, Nick. All right, let's talk about Batman versus Superman now that we're at it.
Well, you guys have fun, because I haven't seen this at all. The only setup for this is right before I came on here, someone posted like the Rotten Tomatoes thing on Facebook, and it was like they had a 33%, and it did worse than the Daredevil movie. And I was like, ooh, I guess that was pretty bad then.
You can't trust that, you know, there's different critics who go on there, you know.
That's
so
true, but for the fact it got
33% on Rotten Tomatoes. Well, it's not done yet either. The whole thing is that it's aggregated over the number of reviews it gets, and it's only at about half of the reviews it's going to get. So theoretically, it could get nothing but very positive reviews, but it's still not doing great in its fresh rate, which honestly shouldn't be a tremendous shock, I think, to people. Mm. I'm a little shocked it's as low as it is, but
you also have to remember context whenever it comes to, you know, knee-jerk film reactions to stuff.
Right.
Because we've had so many comic book movies recently that have been of good quality.
Good quality, okay.
Well, okay, over the last 5 years or so,
yeah,
we've had
yeah,
a lot of
I know what
comic
you mean, yeah.
films. Whereas when Daredevil came out, we had Spider-Man and X-Men, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And Hulk?
No, yeah, the Ang Lee Hulk, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there wasn't this expectation that every comic book movie had to be really good. And then, you know, Dawn of Justice is following up on Man of Steel, which was a very controversial film critically.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's been a tremendous amount of hype surrounding it. So I'm not surprised to see that a lot of people are reacting to it negatively if it's not the greatest film in the world.
Yeah, when was it released?
It comes out this Friday.
Oh, it's not even released?
Yeah, it's not out yet. That's why people are basing it solely off the tomato meter, because this is just early screenings and critic reviews.
Mm.
But essentially...
they pounced on that shit then, didn't they?
Well, yeah, a lot of people, because everybody's kind of wanting to see what the response to it's going to be.
Granted, I mean, this has been in the works for a long time. I remember this being discussed back in, like, 2009.
Yeah.
Like, this is a long time coming. But.
I firmly believe that no matter really what the movie... I don't think the movie's going to be anywhere near as bad as people want it to be. Like, there's a lot of people who just want it to be a train wreck. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I know it's not going to be as good as the fanboys are trying to make it out to be. Like, I've heard some people be like, it's the best superhero movie ever. Like, there's not a chance of that happening. I saw Trailer 2. There's no chance that's happening.
It's not the superhero movie we need. It's the superhero movie we deserve.
Yeah. But I firmly believe it'll probably be okay. I think it's going to be exactly like Man of Steel, where I leave the theater, I'm like, this was an okay movie. And I stop to think more and more about it, and I'm like, Superman should have just saved his dad. He definitely should have been cool with his dad suggesting let that bus full of kids drown.
That was a weird moment. In general, I like Marvel more just in the universe and in the movies. I don't really respond that well to DC movies. I'm way more pumped for Civil War than this.
Yeah.
But I'll see it, and we'll see where it goes. I'll try to judge it on its own merits.
I shouldn't have done this, by the way, because my bean punishment is skunk or licorice again. So just carry
How
on.
How many of the fucking black ones are in there?
I don't know. I feel like I'm getting nothing but them. But whatever. Just carry on. You're gonna see me grimacing in a moment.
Let's talk about a manga. It's all about great food.
Oh! It's so bad.
Yes.
Oh.
Out two.
Oh, boy.
Oh my God.
Oh, get up! I'll just mute myself.
I hope you don't have to kiss somebody of significant value in the upcoming hours, because it's like dying. Oh my God.
It's Food Wars time.
You know, I kind of sort of want to buy those, though, just because of his reactions. But anyway, yeah, Food Wars.
Great for advertising.
I haven't read this one, but yeah, go for it. Yeah.
We actually opened with a color. It's the Nikiris all happy and celebrating together with Alice and Erina being childhood friends and stuff. And Sensei Mom looks happy because they're happy. It's like, aww. And now their lives are a wreck. Erina is back in the Polar Store dorm. And she's just kind of privately thinking to herself about some of the stuff that Soma had said. You know, I was like, okay, you know, there's stuff that I don't agree with, so I've got to do something about it. And then all of a sudden, Ishiki just ceiling cats her. Just comes in through the ceiling and removes a tile and is like, how are you doing there, Nikiri? And she, of course, freaks out over this. And he's like, oh, it seems like you're like the only one who's still here. Even Fumio's gone. That's kind of weird. And then he actually descends on a rope in order to talk with her in the room. he says, oh, you know, it should be about time for Alice's Shokugeki. So you want to go check it out? And Erina is surprised to learn this. Why does she have a Shokugeki? Which, I'm wondering if this is going where I think it might be going, considering the way that the chapter ends. But we'll talk about that when we get to the end.
Mm. Does it involve food?
Probably. So, Rintaro is ratting in shock over the fact that he's just lost his Shokugeki to Kurikiba. And, of course, last time he observed there was a thin layer of green in the filling of his whatever you call it dish. It's explained that the thing was actually crepe, a spinach crepe. And so there are vegetables in it. So, Chris, you didn't get it exactly right in terms of what it would be, but you were definitely on the right track in terms of the seeming inspiration that Kurikiba got for this. He doesn't say... He doesn't actually mention Megumi flat out, but considering the stuff that we've seen in terms of the modern style with Alice, And the fact that he explains in great detail that he used a bunch of spice, which would have he would have gotten from Hayama, it seems as though, yeah, all of the people that have been around him, he's learned from.
So, from somebody that doesn't really read it all that much, is, like, the big cliffhangers of a Shokugeki no Soma chapter, like, I wonder if he's going to use spinach in the next chapter.
It's a lot of, like, there's another trick to my dish. Why don't you try pouring water on it? And then you pour water on it, and, like, fucking, like, jello shoots out like an like a whale orgasm. But, like, wow, that's a pretty sweet dish.
You haven't added the honey mustard yet.
He added the honey mustard, just like, boom!
I should dip a jelly bean in honey mustard and see if that helps.
It just added the honey mustard and it redefines existence.
They explain that the difference between Kurikiba's dish and Rentaro's is non-uniformity. Basically, Kurikiba mixed his different ingredients together in a more interesting way than Rentaro did, which was basically, I'm just going to wrap it around, whereas Kurikiba's has different pockets of different tastes, so you get, you know, a different experience as you're biting into it. But that's not really the big focus of the chapter. It's more on a flashback that Kurikiba has to explain the development that he went through during Stagiaire Week. And as luck would have it, he wound up being in a curry restaurant for his stagiaire. Or one of his. I don't know how many fucking ones they went to. It was never explained.
Yeah, it was Stagiaire Week, ... over the course of a month.
So, he was struggling to get through it because, you know, his food wasn't up to snuff because he was struggling with curry. He wasn't reacting well to the customers because he was fired up all the time and chewing them out and yelling at his boss and all that stuff. But we eventually get a conversation that he had over the phone with Alice, where she told him, you know, this isn't the end of the road for us. We have to show everyone up after losing in the Classic. We have to improve on our failures during this. And so Kurikiba basically buckled down and is like, okay, I'm going to master everything that I come across. I'm going to master spices and the tricks to using them. And that is why he's evolved. And after he finishes this flashback, he trash talks Rentaro a bit more and says, you know, your dish doesn't have any heat to it. It's cold as ice. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger now.
I know. Oh, God, no. I can't go on a tangent. I gotta let these icebreakers do their work.
Kurikiba wins, and that's the first victory over Central that anyone has gotten. So they're like, all right, awesome. Let's see here. Everyone's celebrating this. And then Azami is in attendance, and he starts.
Oh, is this tension? Are we doing tension now? Okay.
I don't know if he's being douchey. I think he's just always a very restrained guy. So I think even, like, if they were, like, the Lifetime Achievement Award for being awesome, Azami Nakiri, he'd still be like,
applause for me, yes.
I just remember in the first Harry Potter movie, there was a scene with Snape, and he's, like clapping, but he's doing it like this. And I always remember that scene as a little kid, like, oh, God, Snape, you're such a pretentious asshole.
I'm Alan Rickman. Yes. I can be.
I'm Alan Rickman. God rest in peace, Alan Rickman. And I mean, literally, he was God. Rest in peace.
So Azami congratulates Kurikiba on his victory, and everyone there reacts in shock that Azami is in attendance. But, like, literally everyone. Like, people in the audience are turning around. The judges are turning around. The students from Central are like, oh, shit, Azami is here. Alice is the last one we see reacting, and she turns around looking all serious, and she just says, Uncle Azami, it's been a long time. I'm sorry, Chris, that was a bit too serious for the Valley Girl bit. I don't know.
So. Uncle Azami, it's been a long time.
You can't really do that very seriously.
Hey, Uncle Azami, it's been a long time. That sounds a little too sexual. It's been a long time.
I don't know the story between these two.
Given how
well, it's uncle and niece, so
it can still be sexual.
Given how creepy Azami's relationship with Arianna is,
I'm actually super stoked about this, though, because I like the idea. We haven't seen a lot of the reaction openly of people challenging Izami, and Alice in particular is one of the most interesting ones, because it's not Erina. Like, this is the person who has the closest relationship with this man, but isn't mind-fucked by him as much as Erina is.
Right. The only other one you can really say that about is Senzaemon, and he's taking a very passive role in everything.
Yeah. So I'll be very interested to see what happens here. And as you said, maybe this does apply to why Alice was, or Erina was earlier, like, she's having a Shokugeki, but, you know, maybe right. Azumi has favoritism towards Alice as well. Who knows?
Well, I'm curious.
Or it's the reverse. Maybe he hates the shit out of her.
I'm thinking, because that did not seem to be a case of, oh, her cooking society had a Shokugeki. It seems like it's about to happen. She's got something else she's got to do. So it's like, is she going to try and go up against Izami? Is she going to try and go against someone else from Central? Maybe one of the actual members of the council? And if so, what is she going to be trying to accomplish? Is she going to be like, hey, leave Erina alone if I win this? Or, you know, what's going on? So it's an intriguing cliffhanger to leave off on.
I'm super stoked for it. I'm really excited. It's a very good chapter. It was fun. I'm glad we got to see more of Kurokiba kicking ass, and I got Dandy or Jellybean. I'm saving these because you're going to be useful in a moment. I'm pretty sure.
I like the Azami's character design. He looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Okay, Chris.
Here's another fucking black one.
Da, 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 da.
Not since I reincarnated myself in the 1920s have I hated black this much.
and then like Obama just comes up behind you, just punches you in the face.
I'm just like, it's not about this. Your jelly beans suck.
Eat your jelly beans.
If you live in Harrisburg, you might want to watch when you just say, I hate black.
All right. As Chris is torturing himself. Be his time.
Oh! Oh! I mean, he skunked all there! Oh! It's like it gets worse every time! That shouldn't be possible! You should build up an immunity after a while! Somebody they not have fucking kids working on this?
Somebody just commented, black beans matter.
Oh! I love black beans! They're just shit! Oh, if someone watches it, it's gonna look like I just jerked off 7 times in front of my computer. It's gonna be fucking used to. Oh.
You'll God. Never. It never washes out, Chris. It never.
Oh,
washes
how many
out.
Fucking chapters left this week?
Oh, you got like all right. 5, right?
Let's talk My Hero Academia.
Oh yeah.
Chapter 83, loss. Last time, the good guys lost.
You just spoiled it for me, Nick. Come on.
Basically, Bakugo's been captured. Interestingly, only 2 characters featured on the little thing in the beginning, even though there are a lot more featured this week, are just Midori and Bakugo, which I think, given what's happened, it's actually pretty appropriate. Hmm. We see, you know, a bit of silence. A lot of silent action for the first couple of pages where, you know, all the students are, you know, trying to regather themselves and get to safety, you know, carrying their injured and so on and so forth. Uraraka and Asui catch up with the rest of the group who went after Tokoyami and Bakugo, and they just see Bakugo, you know, collapse on his knees, yelling out in anguish because Bakugo's been captured. Mm. And then we get a bit of narration to basically, you know, just bring everything up to speed. And they're like, yeah, the word didn't get out until 15 minutes after the villains escaped. And so, you know, rescue crews showed up. Of the 40 students, 15 were in critical condition thanks to the one villain's gas attack. 11 had other injuries of varying degrees. Only 13 managed to escape that injury, and 1 was missing. And of the 6 pros that were there, those being the Pussycats and Aizawa and Blood King, one has a serious head injury, and one could not be found. Nothing was left behind but a massive blood stain. fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of dark.
It's a wild night they had.
Mm-hmm. I'm also not cool with the people in the chat who are like, let's talk about Nisekoi, Yu-Gi-Oh! This week, so there has to be more jelly beans.
I'll bring up Nisekoi briefly, because it's...
Can I not count that? I won't say a word on it.
Nick, I mean, Chris, I would love it if you just, like, poured them all in your mouth at once. That would be...
Oh, I can't even...
Imagine.
Oh. Well, I mean, some of them don't hit you until you chew for a while, so I couldn't even, like, the moment I eat one that's, like, skunk, I'm like, oh! Carry on.
So, the summer training camp, it's ended in disaster. And we get the conference between the teachers of UA, who basically they're like, we kind of took this whole villain revival thing too lightly. They had long ago started this whole thing, this war to destroy our hero society, and we, the fact that we actually thought that we would have time to prepare our students for this, that was complacency on our part. And, of course, All Might is, like, the most broken up out of everyone. He's just like, I can't believe it. I should have been there. I was, you know, relaxing while everyone was out there fighting for their lives. Mike Checker, or whatever his...
Oh, Present Mike.
Present Mike, right.
Yes.
He brings up, you know, I think it's clear at this point that we've got a mole. Because only the teachers and the Pussycats knew about our training location. So... how is it possible that, you know, they found out about this? I mean, maybe there is some other explanation for behind all this. Maybe there was a student who had a GPS function, and eventually he's cut off and like, look, we can't start infighting at a time like this. There's way too much stuff on our hands right now for us to suddenly be suspicious of each other. We might collapse even without that going on. But basically, this whole beginning part of the chapter really does a good job building up. This is probably the worst off the good guys have been in this entire series, because not only have the students been through a hard time, but they've got all this suspicion about where stuff went wrong, they don't know, and also, public opinion of the Academy is in the toilet because of the danger that people now believe that the students are in.
It does a really good job at characterizing how a physical victory for the heroes still ultimately ends as just a complete and utter defeat for them.
Because, I mean, most of the students got away safely.
Yeah, no one was killed, I mean, right. Except for maybe that one pro. They managed to capture three of the villains, but then it's the fact that so many students were injured and one was outright taken that has just completely defeated the school's credibility.
Mm-hmm. Was this the Villain Alliance thing? Are those the ones that they were fighting?
Yes, this was the Vanguard troop of the villain.
Yeah, I just finished the part where they took out, I think his name was the hero
Stain?
Villain.
Stain?
Yeah, him. And I'm right about to get to the chapter where apparently All Might tells him about the secrets of
One.
That's where I'm at right now. So I think this is like the next arc coming up,
yep.
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I'm almost there. But I love
actually, no, there's a very small one in between where they team up and for their exam.
That's cool. I mean, I love the series. I like the characters. Probably my favorites are probably going to be Bakugou or the Hawk dude. Tokoyami, I think
Tokoyami,
his name is.
Yep.
Yeah, him. Those pretty cool guys. Yeah.
So, All Might gets contacted by his police contact, Tsukauchi, who says, we might know where the League of Villains hideout is.
Mm.
And so he offers All Might the chance to come along with them. And All Might immediately transforms and heads off to help out. Because he's... probably not thinking very straight right now.
No. How long can he stay like that at this point?
It's not clear, but it seems that it's getting shorter and shorter as time goes on. So we've only seen him, and it I think, for the max of a couple hours.
Yeah, the last time I heard it was like 50 minutes. I don't know if that changed since then or not. But.
So we go to Deku waking up in the hospital. He's in kind of bad shape. Got his arms completely bandaged up, you know, head wound all wrapped up and so on and so forth. There's a gift from his mom.
Oh, it's not just a gift. It broke my goddamn heart, Nick. It's just like a thing of, I guess it's like fruit, it looks like, and it just says, so the note says, eat some once you wake up and call me. And you're like, oh. And he just stares at it blankly. You're like, oh, he hasn't called his mom since he's been in the hospital. And they, like, fucking, they bring up the note where I think it was his mom, or not his mom, but I think it was Heal Nurse or whatever her name is, Nurse Make You Feel Better, who was
recovery
just like,
girl.
Yeah, recovery girl, who was like, Deku, like, please, you have to stop doing this to yourself. Your mom's heart can't take it anymore. I'm like, if Deku's mom dies of a heart attack, God forbid, if she stubs her toe in grief, I might fucking lose it on this series.
I hope she gets her peanuts.
The sound music cues up in the background. Like, your mom can't take what you're doing to yourself anymore.
God damn it, Deku! Give your mom her penis! What was that? That's why I meant peanuts. It sounds really hard when you scream it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to bring up, I don't know if it was mentioned before, I might have forgot. Does Deku have a dad? Like,
not that we've seen.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he obviously has a dad. I don't think he's been a part of his life at all. I think the only times we've ever seen him being raised, it's by his mom. So I'm sure his dad is someone within the series, but it seems just, very specifically that he was raised, I think, as a single parent.
All right, yeah, okay.
So Deku is kind of just lying in bed, and he's like,
some people are saying it's a guy who just can't do anything.
Okay, alright.
And his classmates come in, and they're like, oh, hey, you're awake now. And Mineta is holding a melon over his head. He's like, we bought a melon for you!
That's the voice you give
son
him.
Of a bitch!
We made him Stone Cold
it's
Steve Austin
one.
For some reason.
Okay.
Because I thought it would be funny. Like, all of the reasons I do voices for this show.
It works, I guess.
I like how everyone's like, oh, you're okay. We're sorry that you, you know, went through all that stuff. I got a watermelon! Of course, Mina is obsessed with melons. That pervert.
Just shove it into his freaking face. Like, eat the melon, dude. Makes you feel better.
We all put together 20 cents to buy you this melon. I spend the rest on pornography!
Apparently, melons are very expensive in Japan.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah, they're a delicacy over there. You can get, like, square watermelons and shit.
That's, the watermelons that they bring to, like, it's like a big thing if you go to the beach to bring a watermelon.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There was that Bleach episode where they fight against giant watermelon creatures at the beach and they turn into, like, tentacle hentai. Yeah.
Yeah, the Bleach anime does weird stuff with those.
Yeah.
That didn't count as a tangent. That was on topic. We were talking about Mineta.
Come on.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So, let's see here.
If you want a tangent, I could have a tangent.
No!
Everyone's asking for the tangent. Go ahead.
Ida recaps some more of the student situation. He's like, yeah, Jiro and Hakagure are still unconscious because they've been unconscious since they were gassed. Yayorozu has a terrible head wound and she's here at the hospital. And so everyone else came from the class, except for Bakugo, which Todoroki helpfully brings up.
In, like, the douchiest manner possible, like, all 15 of us came. And, like, Todoroki has to pop in. Well, of course, Bakugo's not here. He didn't magically get unkidnapped.
And Ashina was like, Todoroki, come on!
WTF, bro!
That would have been so anticlimactic. He's like, oh, Bakugo, you're here. He's like, oh, yeah, they just dumped me on the side of the road. I managed to get back. It's cool.
Turns out explosions can counter portals.
Let's see, Deku gets really upset because he's like, you know, All Might told me about how sometimes we just can't reach people who need saving, but I could reach him. All I had to do was save him, and my quirk is built for that. No, and I couldn't move my body, and he starts crying. And
the reaction
to this, let's go save him!
I want to stop here and just note on this, because this is a great fucking scene right here. Because, like, you know, we always hear that, like, one of the things that makes Superman interesting is he wants to save everybody in the world, but it's just physically impossible. And he's constantly hearing the fact that he's unable to do that. And this is sort of a similar way. Deku has the desire to help people, and he has a quirk that's useful for it. This is a chance where he could have saved somebody, because, you know, he's just too good-natured a person, but he physically just couldn't. You know, it's that situation of being just not fast enough to save somebody, just not strong enough, just not having anything left in the tank to manage to do it. It's a heartbreaking moment where he's sitting there just crying over that fact. It's a pretty heartbreaking moment.
Well, it's not even like he was completely out of stamina. I mean, he was really close, presumably. but it's the fact his arms were fucking useless, and he needed working arms in order to do it.
I don't know what happened, but I have some assumptions on what happened there.
You probably won't see everything coming, but...
I feel bad for whoever has to pay that kid's hospital bills, because he gets fucked up a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, it helps that they've got recovery girls, but they are in just a hospital, so...
But even with her, it was stated, like, they can't just keep doing that, because they use your stamina when she hits you, so you can't just keep, like, magically healing all the time. Yeah.
I imagine that because the Academy is in so much trouble that they're footing the bill.
Yeah.
So, Kirishima is like, well, let's go save Bakugo then. And he explains that Todoroki and he happened to come by the hospital yesterday, and while they were there, they came across All Might and the police talking with Yayirozu, who told them that she managed to slap a transceiver onto one of the villains. And she also has the associated tracking device, because her powers are useful as shit. And there's a sweet little moment where All Might says, you know, as always told me that you're not good at making snap judgments and decisions, but you've come a really long ways. Good job, Yairozu. Leave the rest to us.
Aww.
All Might
had a hero moment.
So, Ida's... It asks, okay, so what you're saying is that Yairozu could also make another tracking device that we could use. But he has a flashback to, you know, his failure during the fight with Stain, and where he's being scolded, and he was like, we can't do that. We should leave this to the pros. It's not our place to interfere. And he gets really pissed off about this, and Kirishima just shoots right back, yeah, I know that we're not supposed to do this, but I couldn't do anything when everyone else is in danger. They were after my friend, and I couldn't do anything about it. I just sat there and did nothing. So if I don't act now, I'm not just not a hero. I'm not even a man.
Yeah.
It's a big moment for Kirishima.
You know, I'm liking this, just because it's not as simple as just they come in the room and it's like, let's go get Bakugou back. It's like, all right, cool, let's do that. They have to really...
Assess
the situation here, because there's rules and everything. And I just read the fight with Stain today, like that flashback. I just read that today. And I'm like, yeah, they were being punished for that a little bit. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you have to. There's
more
weight
to it.
There's
some regulation in this world.
Yeah, there's regulation. It's not like in Naruto, where Naruto's like, I'm going to go save Sasuke. All right, let's do that.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I specifically like that Ida's first thought is, so. You're saying she could make a signal. Like, his thought is immediately going right to, we can save Bakugo. And then he recalls that moment, and he gets very angry. You can tell that anger's really directed more at himself right now, but he uses it to kind of put the dissenting opinion out there, like, we can't take this matter into our own hands. That's not what this is about. Let's leave this for the pros. And even at the end, even after Kirishima's little speech, he still is like he has that face, like, don't do this.
Do you think this is going to be a thing where it's like some of the classmates are going to be like, yeah, we'll go do this, and like another part will be like, yeah, we don't want any part of this? And just
I assume that they're not going to have 15 people all marching out to help. It seems like a little bit too many characters to focus on in one concentrated effort to save Bakugo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I
am honestly not certain that anyone will actually end up going. Maybe there won't be enough people willing to go, and the other students will stop them. Because we don't get Deku agreeing or disagreeing yet, because, you know, Kirishima, you know, makes a big speech. He says, you know, Bakugo's not beyond our reach yet. He holds out his hand for Deku. Deku hasn't said anything. He's grimacing, and Ida is also grimacing. We don't get Deku's decision.
He might just be grimacing, because it's like, you're asking me to hold your hand. I'm in my fucking cast, dude. Come on. Like, here!
So... what I think might actually end up happening is maybe as a result of this, All Might, whether Deku doesn't go or whether he does go and ends up getting in the way, maybe this is where All Might dies.
Oh, not All Might!
Be pretty sad.
So, yeah, I'm very pumped to see where this goes.
I mean, I've seen the hints up till this point. Like, the past few things have been driving it in. He might not last very long. Plus, he's like the mentor character, and mentor characters in shonens don't last very long, from what we've seen.
They'll go eventually.
Yeah, poor Jiraiya. I'm gonna miss him.
Gonna miss him?
Eventually it'll sink in. I'm still in shock after that death 7 years ago.
It was really rough, Nick. I mean, he turned into a frog, and then he got stabbed, and then he was like, just whatever.
Okay. Bean.
Hey, Chris.
All right. Chris,
eat a bean.
Well, this is a new one.
Okay.
This can either be Tutti Frutti or Stinky Socks.
Oh, my.
I feel like Stinky Socks can't be that bad.
Depends on who's wearing the socks.
I have pretty rank feet, I know. I feel like anything this bean can do, I could dish out three times every turn.
We'll see about that.
Well, he's not grossed out yet. I imagine it's Tutti Frutti.
Tutti Frutti.
I think, yeah, this is Tutti Frutti. It took me a moment. I can't remember what Tutti Frutti actually even tastes like.
Tutti Frutti?
I haven't had Tutti Frutti ice cream in years.
Alright, I'm pretty good with this. I'm pretty happy again.
Or the skunk has just, like, numbed your taste
buds. Yeah, I don't even know anymore.
Like your
I'm just like, whatever. Oh.
Your brain is just like, alright, I'm taking away your sense of taste. You're trying to kill me.
Yeah, something's going on here. You're either drunk or whatever. I'm shutting down.
Alright, I'm gonna quickly go over Nisekoi now.
Okay.
It's chapter 210, Decided. Which,
Deicide?
No. There's so many chapters that they're leaking into other series! Okay.
Full disclosure, I don't know if this counts as a tangent, but you did bring up Deicide. I thought that was pronounced Decide for way longer than I really should have.
Missed that eye right there.
Like, well into the time I was reviewing Bleach, because those chapters came out in, like, 2010, mm-hmm. Started reviewing 2011. Like, up until 2012, I didn't realize, oh, there's an eye there.
Okay.
Oh, it's about killing God. Oh.
About killing God there. Yeah, take a beat.
So, admittedly, I brought that up, which is just a complete tangent. I'm really worried about this one. So, this one can either be caramel corn, which could be awesome.
That'd be great.
Or moldy cheese.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm just gonna get this ready, because I feel like my luck can't be two in a row. Yeah, it's moldy cheese. Oh.
So what kind? Are we talking cheddar, provolone?
Oh.
I'm a pepper jack guy myself.
I love pepper. They can actually use moldy pepper jack. It's as though I had a thing of olives in the fridge that I just let sit for months past its expiration date.
I didn't eat
the olives. I just drank the vinegar. Like, I just downed a big gulp of it.
Considering how grossed out you are, I'll bet it's blue cheese.
Oh.
No, cottage cheese.
Okay. Oh, I can really taste the cheese.
Oh, man.
So the setup in Nisekoi, I'm just going to go through this really quickly, is that there is a meteor shower, which the main cast is going to observe. They've got a telescope all set up. They're going to go to school and watch it. And Mako is freaking out over it, and he's, you know, pulling Raku's on. He's like, hey, buddy, yo, listen to this. Have you heard about this meteor shower? It only happens once every 50 years. And Raku's like, well, they wouldn't shut up about it on the news, so yeah, I've heard all about it. He's like, they say that if you confess to your loved one during the meteor shower, that means that you'll be successful. And Raku's still like, I know. They talked about it on the news. I know this. It's probably my favorite moment in the whole chapter. The entire point of this is that it leads to this absurd scenario where Onodera and Chitoge and Raku are all at the school early. They all showed up early, and Onodera and Chitoge are there because they've known about this meteor shower for a while. They're going to confess to Raku. This is what they've been waiting for. We do, before we get to that point, have this actually really nice conversation where Shu is like, oh, hey, you know, you have two girls, you know, that you are in love with. So, you know, if one girl rejects you, you can confess to the other. So you don't have
a douchey sentiment.
And Raku's immediately like, I couldn't do that. You know, I can't confess to one after being rejected by the other. You know, it, you know, diminishes the second girl that I would confess to. So that's why it's important that I make this decision, actually. So it's like, I like that. No, I smell it. Anyway, all three of them show up at the school early, and as misfortune would have it, a typhoon ends up blowing in, They had actually set it up at the beginning of the chapter, and it took a course that it wasn't being expected. So they're stuck at the school, and everyone else is stuck not being able to go to school, as everything, you know, has to be shut down, trains and everything like that. And for safety, they have to stay at the school, and all three of them are stuck there, just the three of them alone.
Typhoon in Japan? I don't know. Too soon.
Too tsunami.
Too soon. Oh!
Wow!
It's like the go-to,
you just
guys.
Mako tsunami that
shit. Oh, God. So, yeah, very bizarre setup. But
So is that going to be like, you know, two people in a room alone together? Like, you don't know what's going to happen next? I don't know what Nisekoi really is.
It's basically, that, there's a lot
is
of
it,
situations.
Is,
like
it a slice, is it slice of life, or what's up with it?
It is. It was very... Basically, imagine if someone were doing a harem romance, but they had a sense of restraint. So it was like, I could just do boobs in this chapter, or I could actually try and write jokes.
I actually had to describe what a harem was to one of my friends today.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
there's no way that conversation could go.
They didn't know. So I'm like, all right, imagine I'm like a swagger king back in the day, right? And I'm like, I need to, you know, I'm a king.
They're like, you mean you today?
I'm the tech king. I'm the tech king, but I'm like, I have all this fame and shit. I want to get my rocks off. He's like, all right, so we're going to make like this private little harem full of just like prostitutes just for you. And whenever, you know, you're just done with one, you just toss it away, just go into a closet and pick one out. And that's how I described it to my friend.
That sounds awkward to have to describe.
Yeah.
I think I had to describe fan service harem series to my friend's fiance at one point, though.
My one friend.
Who is not into anime or anything of that nature.
My one friend from college, she was the head of the anime club. I'm the president now, but she was the former, and she was really into fan fiction more than I was. And I read a Lemon fan fiction once. I didn't know what that meant, and she told me that. Like, yeah, okay.
What is Lemon?
Okay, Nick, do you want to take this one, or should I? Lemon is just, like, highly sexualized fan fiction. And there's like,
okay.
And there's different levels. Like, Lemon is the most hardcore. Then you have, like, Lime, which is, like, a little bit below that.
How do they get this? They're, like, the variants of Sprite that you enjoy determines how sexual the content of the Serum series is.
Man, do you know how fucked up, you know, terminology is in fan fiction? Let's go through some of this for a second.
Okay.
How do people settle on pairing names? I don't understand this.
By the way, this is a total tangent, so you're eating a
banana. It is.
Let's just eat it now. God damn it! How many bag ones are there?
So this, just go. I'm saying this shit needs to be regulated. I'm telling you. You've got the ones that are like Ichihime and Ichiruki and all that stuff.
That makes sense.
You split the names and you jam them together. Makes sense. Katang and Zutara and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
they do that for celebrities, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Then you have Gundam Wing. Which has numbers associated with the characters, so you have, like, if you're writing a hero and duo story, it's 1X2.
Oh, do you just add the number? Oh, okay, you X
them. Yeah.
Okay.
Then you have, back in the day, when I was but a lad, learning what fan fiction first was, Pokemon fan fiction would refer to AAMRNs. Ash and Misty romance novel.
But this was in the beginning days of the internet. We didn't fine-tune this shit yet. This was like the 90s, right?
So I'm saying there needs to be some sort of government division to regulate shipping titles so that everyone can understand what the fuck you're talking about.
All right. They call a special midnight gathering of Congress. I'm like, okay, guys, listen up. I know we got an election, we got a lot of shit going on right now, Syria and everything, but we need to elect a committee to regulate fan fiction pairing names. This
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Has gone long enough!
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the weirdest because it gets into weird poetic terms.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Jack Atlas and Yusei is King Crab shipping because Jack is the king and Yusei's hair looks like a crab. King Crab shipping.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just say you Jack!
I wonder what Jaden and Alexis's would be, because Jaden's hair looks like an owl, sort of, so owl...
I think it was tomorrow shipping.
Tomorrow? Someone will probably correct me.
I mean, that's a very popular ship, so I'm sure there's a well-known title for it.
Wow, Chris has a lot of tissues hanging out.
There's, like, this, like, funny background event going on for everyone watching the YouTube.
I feel bad for one of your neighbors. I don't know how close you are to somebody else, but you're just like, why are there keep black ones?
There's so many black ones! And they're all fucking skunk, except for the one licorice. I would kill both of you right now if it meant the next one was licorice.
Alright. Anyway, that's a long enough tangent. Let's do One Piece.
Yeah. Let me just get Zabimaru so I'm prepared. And, yeah.
How many of those swords are actually sharp that you own?
The only one that's actually, like, could physically harm somebody, I would say, is Tozen's Suzumushi.
Is that, like, an actual katana?
It's an actual sword. It's pretty sharp. The point is really sharp, though. This was, like, it's wooden. And it was given to me by a club that gave it to me.
I would feel bad for whoever actually tried to craft a working Zabimaru.
The metal ones exist. They just weigh like 30 pounds.
I don't mean just like crafting that with the serrated edges and stuff, but like actually putting the extending segments together.
Oh, I don't think that's physically possible. Someone asked me if it could do that. I'm like, dude, I wish. I think that would be illegal. I think you'd have to get a permit for that. But anyway.
Oh, no, I didn't participate in that conversation. It doesn't count as a tangent for me.
It
doesn't count as a bean for me.
What are those called? I'm ordering those. What are those called?
These are called Bean Boozled from Jelly Belly.
Bean Boozled from Jelly Belly. Yeah. All right, I'm going to get my hands on some of those. I'm going to fuck with my friends. Okay, so what's next? Toriko or
One Piece?
One Piece!
Chapter 820, Cats and Dogs Have a History.
I'm just going to eat a blue one to just wash it out of my mouth. It can't be bad.
Okay.
You're going to be like, oh no, the good one tastes awful.
I'm like, oh skunk spray!
Okay.
So everyone has gotten through with their conversation about the Red Poneglyphs and the King of Wano and stuff like that. Plans are coming together. An alliance has been formed between Zoe and the Straw Hats, which Law objected to, but was fine with. So, basically, everyone's making their way back to the Ming village now. And they're kind of having casual conversations about stuff, like how Cat Viper and Dogstorm are mentioning Shanks and how they used to be on Gold Roger's ship for a little while. They also bring up some information about, you know, people associated with Roger's crew that they knew, and they knew Whitebeard and so on and so forth.
Yeah, Crocus and them, yeah.
Lots of, like, info dumping on the Straw Hats, including some stuff that the Yans was already aware of, like how Shanks and Buggy used to be part associated with Whitebeard's crew.
But it's so cool to hear them name dropped!
To hear them talk about it, too, is just pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. And Usopp's like, wait a minute, hang on a second, what? It's like, you know, it's like us 2 weeks ago, like, wait a minute!
Oh god, I fanboyed so hard when I talked about that. I don't even review One Piece all that much, but I had to for that one.
It was a pretty big chapter.
It was like the one time in 7 years the One Piece was actually mentioned.
Usopp's getting a book out and he's scribbling notes down, it's like, okay, important shit. And Cat Viper and Dogstorm are like so... getting so caught up in you know, fond memories that they're getting really buddy-buddy over it after, you know, of course, they were at each other's throats not too long ago. Let's see here. Brooke mentions, or rather, they bring up Crocus, and when Cat Viper brings up, he's like, oh, he was always looking for this one pirate crew, and Brooke's like, oh yeah, that was my crew. They're all dead now.
It's like, oh. And I'm a skeleton with an afro. I'm like, who's also a rock star. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, yeah, okay.
Nami brings up that she's very concerned about all these tangents that they're being kind of cast down on, you know, distracted by the stuff with Kaido and Big Mom and all this stuff. And she's like, look, you know, here's our log pose, and I think we're getting off course. And Darkstorm comforts her by saying, you know, when you reach the log's endpoint, that's where you come to a realization about the mystery of the ancient writing on the Poneglyphs, and the civilization that gave birth to them, and the existence of Raftel, the final unseen island. And from that point, Roger started his adventure anew. So, basically, he is just like, you know, you're not on the wrong path. You know, going down this path, you'll get there eventually. And besides, you've got a firm head on shoulders.
That wasn't even... That's not only she has on her... Okay, anyway.
Ah.
I wasn't going there. Nami is not a sexualized character at all.
Nami's never sexualized.
She's wearing that dress for its athletic abilities.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, it is maneuverable. I mean,
yeah.
Finding a bra that would fit her at this point would just be ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway, You know, I'm glad that they brought that up with the log post, because that's not something really I thought of, but if you really go back and think, like, this kind of breaks the whole mold of what they were trying to do, because you just assume, like, oh yeah, just follow the logs and eventually you end up at Raftel. But if that's the case, then why haven't the Yonko gotten there yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's so many reasons, but, yeah, he's like, so, I mean, I'm glad they mentioned it.
So, Luffy is like, oh yeah, our navigator's really special. You're so great now. You're really good. And obviously, at first, really embarrassed. Everyone's praising her. But eventually, there's just this little moment where she starts beating up Luffy because he won't stop slapping her on the back. Which, I always like the little jokes. Let's see here. Oh, and there's also a really weird moment with Monosuke where it's like, I've met Roger's crew as well, but my memory of it is hazy. Oh, well, that's stupid. Wait a minute, he died before you were born!
He was probably talking about Ace. Because Ace is, he visited Wano, and the timing would match up. He's Roger's son, so I'm going to go with that. Unless it was revealed that Monosuke is like 30 years old.
I think that I would like that, too. I thought that Monosuke was just fucking with Usopp after he's had to take in all this information, and he's getting
I think he was being genuine, so it's either going to be, you know, one of the two. Yeah.
I just want to note, I also found it amusing that they're going on about the different... Like, it's during the whole thing about Nami talking about the Twin Cape, and Cat Viper's just like, oh, yes, Crocus, oh, ho, ho, what a great guy, I hope he's doing well. They're like, yeah, he's doing great. Like, oh, yes, I remember him. Back in the day, he was searching for this pirate crew, and this Brook just, like, in the same panel is just like, that was my crew. They're all dead now. And just Cat Viper's basically like, what?
I'm a talking cat, and that was really fucking weird.
Cat Viper reveals that they are going to actually get in touch with Marco the Phoenix.
Interesting.
Love Marco! I'm so glad he's shown up again. And then he got his ass kicked by Blackbeard. That was awesome.
Fuck you, Blackbeard!
Fuck Blackbeard!
They're friendly with them, and they're like, yeah, we don't actually know if we're going to be able to actually find him, and so on and so forth. And Luffy has this moment where he's like, wait a minute, I've heard the name Marco. And Robin's like, the one who looks like a pineapple. Oh, him!
Yeah. Poor Luffy. He has to strain himself so hard to remember people. I'm honestly surprised he remembered, like, Doflamingo from that war, because there were so many people there, and he was focused on saving Ace. I'm like, I'm surprised he even remembered anybody from that whole scuffle. Mm-hmm.
Cat Viper says, yeah, I think I might have an idea of where Marco would be if he's alive. They recap the fight that he had with Blackbeard. Let's see here.
Well, they note also, Robin talks about how they had a large battle with, quote, each side bringing in plenty of help. So it wasn't seemingly just their crews going against each other. That may have been sort of alliances coming together as well.
Right.
I don't know. I mean.
Or it may have just been them talking about their crews, I guess, coming together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whitebeard had a pretty big crew, and Blackbeard would have been one of the four.
Blackbeard does have the evil Straw Hats, essentially.
Basically, and you have to consider, he hasn't lost, like, a single fight yet that he's been in. Like, he's dominated everything, pretty much. Well, no,
he gets
no,
his ass kicked.
Yeah, Magellan kicked his ass, yeah.
He gets his ass kicked in every fight, he just always ends up coming out victorious.
Yeah, somehow.
Alright. So, basically, everyone is getting set to split up and go their separate ways. They arrive back in the village, and everyone greets Raizo. And they're all happy to see him healthy and so on. And he gets really emotional. He's like, oh, I love you, Jutsu! Such a goofy character. Luffy gets distracted because he hears there's going to be a feast. And Nami says, come on, we've got to get going. We've got to go find Sanji. And Luffy's confused. He's like, wait a minute, you're going too? And Nami's like, yeah, I feel responsible. And how do you expect to get across the New World Sea without me? Good point. Luffy has no idea where he's going. Chopper also says he's going to go along because Peckoms is injured, he's going to need medical attention, and Brooke says, and also, who's going to play music when you're feeling down? And I was like, no, you don't need to go.
I really hope Brooke goes with them.
It looks like he's going.
I think there's a connection there between him and the, what's Sanji's fault? The Vince Smoke family or something, because mm-hmm. every time that gets brought up, he's like, eh.
Yeah. There's also just the fact that these are all the characters who didn't get to take place in Dressrosa, so this is a chance for all
like,
of them.
I love Frankie, but I've seen enough of Frankie for a little while.
I've never seen enough of Frankie, but I'm okay with him being on the sideline to get other characters in.
And they were all present when Sanji left. The fact that they want to find him, it makes sense.
But that's going along the line of we might get to see all the Straw Hats in this arc because of what happens at the end here.
Right, yeah, they basically are all set to, you know, split up and go their separate ways, and Kimon's like, yeah, you know, good luck, we'll meet up with you. Robin says, oh, you know, if you happen to come across Big Mom's poneglyph, then, you know, try and get a copy of it for me. And then all of a sudden, the land starts shaking, as the entire island rocks, and the elephant is trumpeting. Basically it seems as though Jack is following through with his plan to attack the elephant in order to get what he wants.
Yeah. And then that last panel, you see Luffy, like, what's that voice? Because apparently he can... I want to say, because it's the elephant that's making the noise, Zunichia, I think its name is. But the way he's saying that, it's making it sound like similar to Roger's gift. Like, I can hear the voices of all things or something like that. We don't really know how that pans out, but I don't know. Considering we're on break, I think, for next week, and the way that's the chapter cliffhanger ended, that's what I took away from it.
It'll probably be a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I like this chapter. This is a week where almost every series was essentially set up or explaining things.
I was so angry, like, yesterday when I was recapping all of the chapters and stuff, and I was like, God damn it, Tekki's gonna have an argument to make Bleach his chapter of the week again! Fuck!
Honestly, I... Nah, yeah.
You're like, well, then I think about it, I guess it would be. Yeah. I mean, this is a good chapter. It's just, there's nothing that ultimately happens. It's all talking about what's going to happen. It's still cool, because it's One Piece. There's just stuff going on, the little name drops that we get, the little details, the world building that happens within it, the humor, all that still makes it worthy of a chapter.
Yeah.
It was just like, damn, every chapter this week was essentially like this, because if you read Jump 2, it went from World Trigger, that is the fucking, like, pre-match commentary, into One Piece. You're like, oh, the two series I love the most are doing nothing this week but getting me excited for next week.
Yeah, two chapters might have, like, traitors in their midst. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's a weird coincidence. Things happen like that sometimes.
They line up, There's like, a secret organization of mangakas. They all get together, and they're like, all right, how can we put in these, like, secret messages? Like, who's going to go first? And, yeah.
All right, Chris, I think we're done talking about One Piece.
All right, so this is a new one. This one, you can tell it's good because it's green.
Oh, yeah, green's a good color.
It can either be Juicy Pear... or booger. I don't even know what booger would... Whatever.
And you know what? Compared to other stuff you've eaten, booger would be on the low end of the spectrum.
He doesn't look happy.
I used to eat boogers as a kid. They tasted fine.
He doesn't look happy.
I can't tell if it's pear and I don't like pear either! God damn it!
Alright, so, Toriko, Gourmet 363. Dawn gets serious.
Ooh, can I do this one?
Okay.
All right. So Dawn smashes Neo onto the ground like it's like a bunch of bubbly soup. And fight's not over yet. Neo's still alive. He reaches up behind him. And Dawn basically just fucks him up throughout most of this chapter. He summons like Black Lightning, like that Orga from Fairy Tail, you know, just like strikes him with it.
I need to get water.
Neo comes up to him, though, after taking the full brunt of this attack, and he's like, feed me more, like, yum, yum. And Dawn's like, all right, fine. So he does this even bigger technique where he whips up, like, a fucking tornado, and he, like, with, like, razor edges, and he, like, shreds him. And, you know, once again, he just appears right in front of him. He's bleeding. He's clearly taken some damage, but he's just, like, up in front of Dawn's face, and he's just like, yeah, that was good, give me more. Fucking laser cannon right in the fucking face, and it's the same shit.
He kaiju breath attacks him. Bah!
Yeah, kaiju breath attacks him, and he's starting to realize, like, oh, this guy, you know, he can't be. What's he doing here? So he tests it one more time by, what's the best way for me to phrase this? Summoning the end of the world. He, like a bunch of meteors come out of his body and just rain down on all of Area 2, and it's, like, seen from space. And it's called Calamitous Torrent, and it just wrecks. It's like a fucking nuke, like a 10-ton nuke just went off. And Dawn actually seems like a little bit like out of breath when he uses it too. It's the first time we've seen him like actually like, oh man, that took a lot out of me. But then once again, Neo just, like, walks up all bloody, and he's just like, feed me again. So what apparently is happening here is that Neo is not necessarily dodging the attacks, and he's not taking the full brunt of them. He's, like, eating them.
Which makes no sense.
Which doesn't really, because, like, how do you eat, like, a shit ton of meteors coming down, and how do you not,
How do you eat a laser cannon?
How do you eat a laser? And you're getting hit with most of the laser. So I'm guessing, like, he eats enough of the attack so it doesn't damage him, and obviously he can heal incredibly fast. But, yeah, so that's what happened there. And then Neo immediately proceeds to just chomp off freaking Don's head. And this isn't a big deal, because he could just pop it right back out. But they have, like, a little scuffle there, and he's mentioning, like, oh, last time we fought, it wasn't even close to being like this. And then Don gets this moment. I don't know if he's just joking around with it, because later on he's kind of weird, but it's like he's falling into this dark abyss as Neo begins to eat him. And then he's like, what is this feeling? I've never experienced this before. I feel like I'm falling into this black abyss. And then he's just like, yeah, whatever, I'm just kidding. I'm a natural disaster, bitch. So he summons up, like, this ball of, looks like, appetite energy, and he's just like, guess what? We're gonna die together, like, suicide bomb this shit. And then that's how the chapter ends.
I still don't find Neo intimidating in the slightest.
Not really, no. I mean,
he's gonna say that.
It's just like, feed me, please.
I'm gonna eat you, and you're terrified of me.
I don't know. Maybe he's going for the fact that he's so, like, simplistic. That's why he's so scary. I don't know.
It's the nose. That nose is not scary.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. Let's just. It was whatever. Oh, good. I could have Booger Juicy Pear again.
Toriko was a pretty brief chapter. It was mostly just attacks.
Oh, it was the only really action heavy chapter. And
oh, surprise! It was Booger!
I still just have this problem with Toriko. with Neo specifically. Like, Neo is meant to be, like, this ultimate force of unstoppable evil. You know, this unstoppable monster keeps on coming back. And every time he comes in, it's just like, whatever, it's not scary. And I don't know if this is supposed to be... Chris and I have talked about this, if this is, you know, the ever-present parody element in Toriko that's kicking in. And he's not supposed to actually be all that scary. But it really is weird to see him going, like, you keep on beating me up, I'm just gonna...
That's all it does. Yeah, kind of like the same way zombies are scary, sort of. I don't know, like, you could stab them and they keep coming at you. I don't know. There was that one chapter where Neo was first introduced at the very end. Not introduced, but we saw his flashback. And the final page was, like, nothing but that cover spread. That kind of looked kind of a little creepy to me. I wasn't scared, but I don't know.
Where it was just, like, his face across...
It was just his face, like, the nightmare has already begun, and, you know, whatever. Yeah. Just throw him a bean, then he'll just die.
I don't know. Don Slime mentions anything that consumes him is supposed to be destroyed from.
Yeah, it's supposed to be killed from the inside out because he's supposed to, like, copy anything.
That seems a little bit like Chris right now.
You know, I haven't gotten it yet, but I also have the opportunity to maybe get chocolate pudding or canned dog food. So.
Oh my god! Tonight you'll be asleep, and just your stomach will crack open like that thing from Alien. Will just climb out and just hide on your wall or something.
Like, the plus side is I don't have to categorize this in my Fitness Pal because I haven't eaten any of these except for like three. Because the rest of these are just this giant wad of tissues that may look like I'm 12 years old and I discovered masturbation again for the first time.
I already made that joke when you panned the camera down. I'm like, wow, he's got a lot of tissues hanging out there.
All right, let's wrap things up with World Trigger.
Oh, yay. I don't know what this is. Okay, go ahead.
It's chapter 136, Galapala Part 13. The enemy is gone. It seems like everything is okay. Shinoda gives the word, hey, you know, there might be still hiding out there, so, you know, keep the ground forces in the security zone just in case. But everyone's like, okay, yeah, it looks like we've made it. And everyone's like, oh, this... Good thing that we had Jin's foresight on our side, and it's a good thing that they stuck according to all of his predictions and stuff. I mean, if they had actually attacked the city, then we would have been, you know, in trouble. So I was like, yeah, we won! Yay! And outside, people are fucking goofing around. Like, some of the soldiers that were affected by the weird gel weapon are using it to skate around.
Yeah, they're like playing. They're doing like spinning around with it. Or should he be using? Oh, okay. I see what he's doing. He's playing the gel around his feet and then using his spear to like spin around, like wee, I'm in a circle.
So let's see here. But everyone, you know, there's congratulations that are being traded around. I forget his name. Ninomiya, right?
Ninomiya, man. Fucking pimp.
Yeah, he
he's my character of the week. I know he's only in this panel, but he does a lot.
He approaches Miwa, and it's like, I thought you disliked Tamakomo, so I'm surprised that you actually worked together with Jin. And Miwa just like, nah, our operator just said we should do it, so whatever.
Yeah. Pretty sweet, but I like how you see Urashiyama kind of looking back at me and like, he's changing for the better. He doesn't say anything, but he does like that cool look over the shoulder like,
you're like building this up like it's a Mad Max moment or something. yeah, more congratulations get traded around. Let's see here. And then we cut over to Galapola's ship, and everyone's like, what the fuck, Reggie? You fucking piece of shit.
I wish everybody was just like, fucker. Well, that didn't go very well.
And we're just gonna like, but, you know, they're like, we weren't supposed to go after any of the civilians. What were you thinking? He's like, I wasn't really going to go after them. I was just acting like I was. They would get distracted. Well, let's hope that they actually took it that way, because they're going to fucking kill us if they think that you were going to attack the civilians. So, yeah, lots of, she's really coming down hard on him, but everyone's like, we should also consider the fact that, I mean, we only managed to actually escape it all because we had the new model, which implies that the Daylight technology is, in fact, very new, and that they must have actually aped Medin's, Earth's borders technology.
Very likely. Maybe they gathered it after Africa Tor.
Well, some of the students were captured, too. So, maybe that's how. But they also bring up, you know, they had a lot of really accurate information on how we were going to do. Like, even if, you know, one of their prisoners told them about us, they knew, like, exactly what we were going to do. So how the heck did they manage to do that? Because, of course, they don't know that Jin has, you know, foresight. Let's see here. They also bring up... This is a less important moment, but the final blow that Konami struck against Gatlin, they observed that she actually struck a point that had been damaged earlier and actually aimed for it when she attacked him.
There's a character named Konami.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As in, okay.
it's a name.
It's pretty sweet, too.
It's a name. I mean, it's a pretty good game company. Well, sometimes, but, you know.
Gatlin's like, oh, this kind of sucks. And so one of the other soldiers says, well, I mean, we can't just withdraw yet, can we?
And the guy's like, let's get out of here. Well, sucks.
Gatlin says, well, we still have time until we deviate from Eden's orbit, so let's, you know, rest for now.
Yeah.
Which does imply they might actually come back at greater numbers.
I would not be shocked if they do, because it does seem like if they didn't get involved in the story beyond this, then it would have felt like this was a little bit of like a small filler arc almost. Even though it had a purpose, like it would have felt like we'd seen kind of a lot for very little. But and the idea of them coming back is kind of exciting, because we do know that these guys are intimidating. We also know that they're not evil. Like, there's, they don't have the same kind of menace that the Africa Tor gang had, where almost every member of that group seemed kind of sinister. Even not evil, maybe in like a Nozomi kind of way, but just villains. These guys really just kind of seem like they're guys in an unfortunate situation that have to do this for political reasons, essentially.
Hmm. Yeah, and the fact that all of them managed to escape, that seems important, too. So, yeah, I'm actually a little bit surprised by that, though, because it's like, oh, so I guess maybe Galapola will actually be, you know, do some other stuff and be further involved in the story as we go forward, but, yeah.
So can I ask a question about this series in general?
Sure.
Why is it called World Trigger?
because they use triggers.
And okay, that's the name. I like their like the powers they use.
Yeah,
okay.
And also it's discovered eventually that there is essentially one person who becomes the life source for a planet, which is called the World Trigger. Every cool. world has to have one, and they all start dying, so you have to go across the different worlds to find new ones.
Okay, so it's like science fiction-y, kind of like traveling to other planets.
Yeah, that's why the other world invaded theirs, because they were trying to find a mother goose, essentially, for their world. Someone who would act as the next world trigger.
Like a queen to start another planet. Oh, that's actually a pretty cool idea. All right.
And it's been implied that the target is actually one of the main characters.
All right. This is what I'll do. Next time, every time you have me on, I'll slowly start to get caught up. It's like, oh, damn it, they want to have me on again. All right, I guess I have to read my World Trigger now.
My World Trigger.
Well, that's My Hero Academia was only about 80 chapters in, so this one's only 100 and something. That shouldn't be too long.
And it's awesome, so you'll love going all
And it's
here.
Awesome, and I'm on break this week, so why not? After I do, oh, God, I have Bleach. I have last chapter review tomorrow. I'm just going to do a double review and then do... the one whatever. I hope Kubo doesn't make it really elaborate tomorrow. I'm kind of hoping he just has one of those chapters where it's like most of the chapters like Kenpachi being Kenpachi and then cuts him in half and then that's the end of the chapter or some shit.
So we we cut over to the rank wars and lots of talking to finish in the last several pages.
Oh, we weren't done yet. I'm so sorry about
nope,
that.
It's okay.
I was worried.
We're nowhere even near done, actually.
There's not actually... Well, it's weird because...
There's not actually much to say, but there's a lot of pages essentially establishing that we're about to start our next rank war match. Since it's been a while since we've seen these characters, reestablishing essentially who these different groups are that Tamakoma 2 is going to be competing up against. And then kind of establishing the dynamic that our commentators are going to have and teasing a couple things.
Mm-hmm. And, what's his name? Izumi from Tachikawa Squad is there, as well as Tokieda from Arashiyama Squad. And Tokieda, basically, as the main announcer, Takatomi, is like, you know, Yuma Kuga is the only one on Tamakoma who can actually, you know, earn points for them. He's the only one who's been able to do anything. And Tokieda says, well, this time you're going to see something interesting. And Izumi's like, oh, does Four Eyes have a technique? And he's like, no, secret. So.
No, but he has a pretty sweet fan fiction he's pretty excited about. Says in it he makes the smecks.
Oh, God. With a girl, even. Not alone. Oh, God. But yeah, it's basically just like, oh, by the way, yeah, remember that whole Rank Wars thing that we were setting up for Tamakoma to do, like, at the end of last year? Right, we're gonna get back to that now. It's gonna happen. Okay. Yusei's gonna join them, so this is gonna be an important match. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what's gonna happen now, but...
Oh, I'm super pumped for this, because, first and foremost, I was just excited. I know it's even for one panel, but I was like, oh, Samu's back! Fuck yeah! But, in the FUT, so he's the main character! That's how you know!
Did you, like, have a mini-moment first when they have the chibi versus the characters? It's like, oh, it's Chibi Osamu! And then there's the real one!
It was the last shot of the panel, though. It was, like, the last shot of this chapter. You see Osamu for one shot. And I'm not kidding you, I was at work, I was reading on my lunch, and I was like, good. Like, I just exhaled. I was like, he's back. I'm excited about that. And I'm excited because this is going to be a cool match. This is going to be a good match because Jin has said, like, let's go see your new group. So obviously I'm not going to queef their way through this match if it's meant to be the thing, the hook that gets Yusei to join their group. They're not going to, like, bumble fuck their... It's not going to be the Lions versus the Browns. It's going to be like, no, this is the Patriots stomping all the fuck over the Jets.
What about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Chris?
The Pittsburgh Steelers will not go to the playoffs yet again. I can't really shout on the Steelers. You guys have more rings than anybody, so...
Yeah, we're awesome. Well, you're right in the middle of the state, so who are you more for?
Oh, I'm a Giants fan, actually. My dad...
Oh, you're Giants.
My dad's whole family's Giants fans, so...
Okay, and that's a tangent, so eat a bean.
Oh, what the fuck? This is...
You're eating two beans. We're done with World Series.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. Now, I'm looking at the website here. There's a few ones we haven't gotten yet.
Oh, do you want me to just go with the ones I haven't tried yet?
Lawn clippings and, let's see, there's Rotten Egg.
There's three I haven't tried yet. So I've got one of each.
Canned dog food, yeah.
Okay, so this one could be lime or it could be lawn clippings. So we'll do this one for the tangent.
That doesn't seem like it would be particularly intense.
No, like the...
It'll
like the
probably, like, be stuck in your mouth, though.
Yeah, like I said with the birdie bots, there was a grass-flavored one, and that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, this is grass. It's not the worst, though.
Yeah.
I'll even swallow that one. I'll give that one a pass.
You actually swallowed that one.
So this one could be buttered popcorn...
Or the rotten egg.
Or rotten egg.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The popcorn one's one of my favorite birdie bots, Bean.
It is a really good one, but I'm really...
Oh, man, it's all or nothing. Go big or go home.
Oh! Oh! Why would you make this? Why?
I can only imagine how that was in your face.
Oh!
They just took, like, essence of sulfur and then just threw it in bean form.
Some of them have, like, a second where you don't notice it.
Second.
That one's immediate. It's like you crack the shell, and it's like a fart just released right in your teeth.
I love, because I'm like looking at you guys in the Skype mini window, and it always cuts to the person who's, you know, talking. So it was cutting back and forth between Tekking laughing his ass off and a blank, you know, empty room as he talked to us.
Oh, I'm just gonna do this one. Let's just get it. It could be chocolate plain. It's gonna be dog food, though.
Yeah, you got it. You gotta try them all. Does this qualify as torture at this point?
Oh!
Thank you for joining us for Weekly Long Recap.
It's so bad!
Here on Netflix.tv/RollTheT, where we talk... I swear, our podcast is about manga.
That's my son!
No, seriously, he'll be dead, and his tombstone will read, you know, Roll OT, Death by Bean.
We record the show Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can follow us on Twitter.
Fucks that water!
I am at Y Roll of Time. Tekking is at Tekking101.
At Tekking101. I'm on YouTube. You can find me.
You can find him in all of his different... places.
Yeah, I got Facebook, Twitter that I hardly use. Banned from Twitch, so don't even try that. Yeah.
But. Be sure to check out our past episodes on weeklymangarecap.podbean.com. No. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on YouTube and subscribe to the channel. Also, of course, check out Tekking101's YouTube channel. It's got some YouTube videos on there, some which are not even about Bleach, as you mentioned.
Remarkably.
Yeah, you got your Yu-Gi-Oh! Ones, you got your comedy shorts that you've done and stuff.
Yeah, last one I did was a Pokemon one, so I might start doing more of that.
That was a very interesting video. I actually really dug that, because like, as you're going through it, I was trying to guess what it was going to be.
Yeah, everyone thinks. And I'm like, that's why I made the video, because I'm playing the game. Yeah, and I'm thinking, nobody's ever mentioned this before. I need to talk about this.
My guess was it was Chansey. I wasn't too far off.
No, you weren't. It's just that Chansey could be found somewhere else other than the Safari Zone. Right, are you okay there? Oh,
the rotten egg one! The rotten egg one really hangs with you!
So this isn't the dog food one.
I don't know if it tastes that. I may just taste the fucking rotten egg one again.
What you need to do now is you need to go to your workplace and you just need to give those out to people. Like, you're the nice guy. Like, hey, happy Easter. Here you go.
Devil horns.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Special thanks go out to our Patreon supporters. Your support allows us to create all sorts of bonus content for you guys to enjoy.
I love you guys.
We recently recorded the bonus podcast, and that should be up pretty shortly. And, Chris, were we going to try and do another commentary on Sunday?
Oh, we could try, yeah, sure.
Okay. Because we had to fit in a second one in order to make up for January.
Ooh.
Or whatever the hell that was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, December. We could do it. Oh, God.
Special thanks to Steve Man, our podcast.
Thank you for our sponsor, Beans Boozled.
Dirty horse!
Dirty horse.
I wish nothing but cancer and plagues on your family.
You can kiss that endorsement bye. Like, yeah, we're just going to pull this sponsorship.
Oh, God. Steve-Man is in a bunch of different places. NarakFanboy@DeviantArt.com, iDropBoobs.tumblr.com, Patreon.com/Steve-Man. His art is awesome. Thank you, dude. And also, of course, special thanks go to Felix Dart, Vision Editions, and Infamous Planet, who I haven't called the Infamous Planet in a little while. So there you go. He has done all sorts of stuff to help us out.
He's like an artist or something?
He made our frame.
Okay, our that's where that came from. All right.
And he's he also was the first person to do visual editions of Luigi Mago Recap.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Also appeared on a bonus podcast once. So yeah, that's gonna do it.
Chris is a broken man now.
I feel like I just came back from Nom. Like I'm just like I'm shell shocked and just like what? Why did I do this? I paid money to do it. I didn't just get
anything else now. Like you'll go out to eat at a nice restaurant and all you'll be able to taste is skunk now.
I didn't just get this. I got a refillment pack just in case this wasn't enough. I have so many left. I don't know.
Thank you guys in the chat for reminding me that Chris's I am disgusted antics were so distracting. I entirely forgot we were going to do this, so I'm glad I was looking at the chat. We have to give out Series of the Week and Weekly MVPs.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Are we not doing that anymore?
No, like, we got to do that.
All right.
So I'll start off by mentioning that One Piece won the character poll, not the character poll, the poll from the chat this week. Food Wars, not too far behind. It was 33% to 25%, but One Piece, the clear victor, once again. One Piece, our chat room loves One Piece.
Fairy Tail 0%. I like your audience.
I guess I will kick things off by saying it's Food Wars for me. This was not a particularly strong edition of Jump, at least in terms of standout moments. And I felt that Food Wars was the most solid because we had, you know, the stuff with Kurikiba developed and also the intrigue in terms of what's going to happen with Azami and Alice. And I've been asking for a while for us to get some focus on other characters aside from Soma in Food Wars, and I'm very happy that we not only got Kurikiba's big moment, but we're going to seemingly follow up with a bit of focus on Alice. So that's why it's Food Wars for me.
Okay.
Go ahead. I think Chris needs a bit more time to gather himself.
Yeah. Someone mentioned in the comments, by the way, said, Chris, you're not supposed to eat them by yourself. You're supposed to play a game with other people. He's like, well,
the game is to spin a fucking wheel that tells you which bean you have to eat. I don't think it really needs people.
Anyway, I
really, if I could drink alone, I could eat disgusting beans alone in my house. God damn it.
I really don't want it to be Bleach, because I did Bleach last time I was on here, I think, and everyone's just going to be thinking I'm just the Bleach guy, and I'm trying
you
to distance.
You are the
Bleach
guy.
You have a fucking zombie Moro behind you!
But, I gotta go with Bleach. You know, Nell shows up, Asken dies, like, that's points for me. And I did enjoy Byakuya and Toshiro's banter a little bit. I'm not a huge Kenpachi fan.
That happened, and I was like, he'll have an argument. I'm not gonna do it, but, because I've never done Bleach for a series of League, I've always got something I'm bitching about.
Yeah, and while Urahara's, like, scene is, he's not gonna die, it was a pretty nice, you know, moments from him, so I'll go with that.
Chris, how about you? Can you experience joy enough in the world for you to actually say something positive now?
It was gonna be Food Wars, but after this, fuck food. So I'm giving it to My Hero Academia.
Fuck food, then go with Toriko, because the food eats you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best reason that we've had so far on this show. It was going to be this, but then I disgusted myself.
But so now I can't look at food without getting angry.
Oh, God.
Oh, everyone's saying you're the Bleach guy, Nick. Like, Nick is the Bleach guy, just in an entirely different way. We need to have a Bleach off. We need to have a Bleach off.
I'm sure it'll happen someday.
Yeah, I did one with James once. We did a Jeopardy game. I thought the questions...
Oh, in terms of trivia.
In terms of trivia, yeah. I thought that the questions... It was done by, like, a third-party channel. But I thought the questions were kind of really simple. Like, it was like, what's the name of this character? Like, one of the questions was, what is Ichigo Zanpakuto's name? I mean, come on. I mean, that's like, that was a 100-point question, but
big
still.
Big fucking sword.
Yeah, and James ended up winning very, very marginally. I had to do a penalty game there, but we should do that at some point in terms of trivia.
One of my favorite moments from the last time you were on the show.
I think I may know exactly what you guys could do for punishment for every question you get wrong.
Hey, send those send them to us, and then we could do that.
Yeah, punishment if you get a question wrong. That's a good idea.
That's actually a really good idea, yeah.
And I can come up with the questions!
Yeah, and then...
Trollity's Trivia!
That's a terrible idea.
I'll have you know, though, because I thought... I'll have you know, I actually have written a Bleach quiz, and not very many people have finished it. It was pretty hard.
One of my favorite moments when you first appeared in the show, when you tried to flex your Bleach muscles, you're like, well, where are the aspects of death? And I'm like, well, Stark was loneliness, and you're like, fuck! And I'm like, no, that's the only one I know.
Yeah, that was my question on the trivia game, by the way. It was like one of like the Double Jeopardy questions. It was like, name all the aspects of death. I'm like, okay, sure.
It's not a Double Jeopardy question. It's a pop quiz. Double Jeopardy's one answer.
I almost messed up with Siles. I forgot it was Insanity or Madness. I almost messed up on his, but everyone else I nailed. It's Madness. He was pretty crazy. Well, Zalmari's was fucking Intoxication, so wherever you want to go with that, I don't know.
This is going to turn into a tangent for Chris.
I'm already done. The beans are done. I don't care.
The beans are done.
I've tapped out at this point.
Okay.
I put three fucking icebreakers in my mouth, and I can still taste the egg.
The MVP, I guess.
Weekly MVP. I've forgotten mine.
It was Kurokiba. I didn't hate Food Wars enough now to take that away from me, so Kurokiba got mine.
Kurokiba.
Yeah. Okay, who's the guy in My Hero Academia, the one with the red hair, the jagged teeth? I forget his name.
Oh, Kirishima or
Kirishima. I'm going to go with him. I know who he is. I know him as a character. I just blanked on his name because there's a lot of characters' names to take in. I haven't gotten them all 100% yet. But, yeah, I'm going to go with him.
He was mine as well, actually, come to think of it. Yeah. God damn it. I'm not going to extend those columns, but it's Kirishima, My Hero Academy is too wide for the columns of DC. You just know it's someone from My Hero Academy. It was a good chapter for him. And, you know, Chris, you had mentioned back when this whole crisis began that you were wondering about these remedial students and how they would play a role in this. And it turns out that their big development is the fact that they were basically sidelined because of there being remedial students having to attend the extra lessons. They didn't get to attend the, you know, big summer camp thing, and so they weren't out in the wilderness when stuff was going down. They literally did nothing in order to help out. And so the fact that Kirishima didn't do anything but is carrying that guilt as motivation to move forward and help out this time is very good.
It is like really good.
So,
it doesn't go away! Nick, am I always going to be like this?
We're going to stop.
Is it going to be like this forever?
Because if it is, I'll hurl myself out the window right now. I'm not doing this.
Okay, so I think that we might end up violating some sort of international law about broadcasting torture if we continue on like this. So
it's like, it's cool. We could just post this on the dark web. We'll be good.
So that's going to do it for Week Long Recap, everyone. Good long episode this week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tekking, for joining us. We had some
conversations. You're welcome, man. Anytime you want to have me and Chris wants to torture himself with candy, I'm always here.
This isn't candy. Candy brings joy. This brings pain. This is the Spanish Inquisition.
Chris, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, all right? I'm such a fucking poser. I've never seen Monty Python. It was before my generation. And you know what?
You're four years younger than me.
Look, okay? All of you, you know, the original, that guy with the glasses dudes, you'd always make references to Monty Python, and I would never get it, and I would always feel like an idiot. I need to start watching that more.
What a bizarre, dark... How do you even bring up Monty Python in a sad context?
I don't know!
That's gonna do it, everybody. We'll see you next time for something very much like this.
Yeah, happy moment. Okay, bye.
My mom used to talk about fucking, I forgot the name. The egg came back and I was like, Monty Python. My mom talked about Monty Python before. Sure. Bam, credit.